Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Rogaine, check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine, check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. There is life after losing in the playoffs, and it is PFW in Progress. We're back now in our off-season schedule, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 to 2, giving you keeping the hot stove aflame.
Why are you all dressed up today, Fred?
We've got our last show.
The bigger
dressed
question
the show?
Is... No, not
show.
This show.
Oh.
Why is he eating a salad?
Chicken Caesar.
Oh, so it's not really a salad.
Throwing it out. You know, just throwing a little curveball into the lunch.
You are throwing it out. You're going to be throwing it out in a minute because you only eat half of it.
You ate the chicken and the Caesar and left the salad part.
You want to eat my salad?
Eric is, you know.
In your crosshairs, I can tell right now.
He's flying high. He was giddy during the game, so. Finally got one right. Good for you, Eric.
Finally got one right. The guy who won the picks contest, both with the spread and without.
I'm just talking about in your career, you know, decisions to do with your career.
Boy.
But no.
I have no formal.
So we got a lot to talk about. We got to recap this game. And to me, this game was, you know, we were hoping that all the things that we thought that they could do well would come together in this game. All the things that they did bad over the season came together in this game. In one game, everything that we've been worried about came to fruition. Pass rush, block, you know, defending Brady, not being able to run when you needed to.
Well, I would say things we didn't worry about, like Tom Brady just throwing the ball up for grabs in the middle of the field under pressure, looking like Jay Cutler, not Tom Brady. I mean, everything that you worried about sucked, and everything that you thought you didn't worry about sucked.
Yeah. We added one to the list, too, and they just didn't come to play. I mean, they rolled over and they weren't prepared.
I filed that under lack of leadership. On the field,
okay.
You know, all those things.
I agree.
All those things came to fruition in one game. It was unbelievably embarrassing for me, anyway. Amazing to watch.
This is one of those games we really needed the microphones.
What was your quote? What was it exactly? It was
right. We start off the game with an 83-yard run,
strip sack.
Then the third play of offense is a strip sack, and Fred looks and says, "What are we just going to play like a-holes now?"
It was just one of your best lines ever.
It
was just perfect.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It was just a total meltdown, complete and utter meltdown. And, you know, we've seen it before. We saw it in the Saints game earlier. We saw it in the second half of the Jets game.
But it was more immediate.
But we never expected it in a playoff game at Gillette.
Right.
You know, we never.
Because that's what everybody fell back on.
You guys. I know I brought the heat.
We thought they were going to lose, Fred, but we didn't think they were going to lose the way they did.
I brought the heat on Andy and Eric, and they stuck to their guns all week, you know, because I certainly pressed them on the issue, and they stuck with it.
Yeah. No,
and I'm not going to say.
You and I went down with the ship.
We predicted this because nobody did. We thought it would be a close game.
Yeah.
But the one thing we said is the Patriots had to win the physical battle, the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely.
And the Ravens clearly won that and demoralized them with it. I mean, that was the difference, is they physically kicked their ass.
Yeah.
Just punched them in the mouth. And they went down like little pansies.
Almost to astounding levels. I mean,
yeah,
that's. And people can say, well, they turned it around a little at the end.
They didn't.
The Ravens.
They were facing a crippled quarterback. The guy had a rating of 10, couldn't move, and you still got blown the bleep out.
Can you imagine if the Ravens could have thrown the ball in that game if Flacco were healthy?
Yeah. Right.
What they could have done?
Would have been ugly.
And that's the way they were running the ball?
Because he looked like he can't crippled,
move. But
he couldn't move.
I've never seen that team get so deflated by one play. That first play, I mean, you know, you're only down 7-0. It's only the first play of the game, but they looked completely defeated.
Well, I think it was that play, and if they had answered, it would have been a total different ballgame. But when Brady got strip sacked and they scored again, that's
game set match.
I agree with you, Freddie, because I was fully anticipating the Patriots. Okay,
yeah,
all right, they scored. So it was one play instead of 12.
Yeah,
they scored.
They've had a lot of games where they started slow defensively and then adjusted, but they didn't this time.
But when the strip sack happened, I, you know, started thinking, wow, if they get it in here and make it 14. Yeah. That's going to be awful tough to come back from, even though it was only 3 or 4 minutes into the game at that point, because the way the Ravens play. I mean, they're used to playing games like that. And, you know, Brian Morey came over to us at halftime and was like, you know, Ravens are making a mistake. They're going into a shell. And Andy and I snapped at him and said, what are you kidding me? If I were the Ravens, I wouldn't throw the ball again in this game. There's no need to.
No need to.
There's no need to throw another pass in this game. This game's over unless you turn the ball over. And that's the only little flicker of hope that the Patriots had was the muff punt. You know, even then, after that, they threw an interception and then went 3 and out, you know, and came right back off the field. So it was not competitive, really, in any way.
No. You know, so I thought Wilfork and Warren coming back would make a difference. I mean, Wilfork had a decent game, but they had no impact on Ray Rice or McGahee.
And Warren, he had tackles downfield, too.
Yeah, that's... Warren was invisible. I think he might have aggravated the injury. I don't know, but he was ineffective.
And then at halftime, they moved Vince
Wilfork
from
was
nose
ineffective.
To the outside.
Right, they moved him to the outside, I think because Warren was hurting, but I'm not sure.
Wilfork was ineffective, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. I mean, they were running right up the middle. The first play of the game was right up the gut.
Yep.
He didn't create piles. Like when he's having a good game, he creates piles on average plays, and on good plays, he tackles a guy in the backfield. He hits a guy.
Yeah.
This week, it was no piles. And tackles that are, even when he moved to NPOL, there was that tackle he made, like six, seven yards downfield.
And we were like,
and he spun around like 3 times. Yeah. He was getting pushed all around. And
Brandon Merriweather showing off his tackling, Pro Bowl tackling ability.
Wow, Fred. This is the Fred.
That was
that
another
we got.
Line you threw out.
This was the Fred that we got. And I really wish that we were mic'd up because, Fred, you had some gems.
Well, I was upset. And, you know,
that was a rollover job.
I've heard a lot of people criticizing the home fans for booing. I don't blame them because, to me, it seemed like a spontaneous what the F. You know, if the fans were coaches on the sidelines, they'd have been screaming at the players. They're not. They can't. So this is how they could show their displeasure. I mean, I think it was really spontaneous. I don't think it was like a spoiled fan type of thing. I think the Patriots played so abysmally that this was as spontaneous as when they threw the snow up in the air on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
They lacked any intensity, any urgency in that game. And we're going to get into this, I'm sure, as the offseason unfolds. But I wonder if it was a deeper problem. You know, really, you know, you talked about leadership, Fred. I wonder if it's a deeper problem in that regard in the locker room in general. Yeah. Not one that can't be fixed or anything, but just moving forward, if that was a big part of the way they played. I mean, to have so many different guys, and Eric and Andy, I know you guys talked to a lot of guys I didn't talk to, but did you talk to anybody that didn't say something about the level of their intensity? You know, we didn't come to play.
Right.
Something along the lines of
a couple.
They treated it like a playoff game. We treated it like a preseason game. They played with intensity. We didn't. We didn't match it. We didn't show up. There was some variation of those kinds of buzzwords every guy I talked to. Everyone.
We never thought that was possible in the Brady Belichick era.
Well, I thought it would never be possible in a playoff game with anybody involved.
Right.
There were a couple of exceptions, the guys that I talked to, including Lee Bodden, who said, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but he said, I certainly wanted this game more than anybody. I certainly came to play. It was my first ever playoff game. A guy like that who's really motivated for those kind of reasons, I think.
The only problem is, I'd say, Maybe he doesn't know what postseason play the level needs to be.
He's, maybe.
No offense, maybe. Lee, but a career loser. You've been a loser in the NFL. Wow.
No, but I think
and just like that, no, but just like a rookie,
like Jake on Two and a Half Men last night.
Just like a rookie, no, they say he doesn't understand that there's a different level in the postseason.
No, I think
maybe Lee Bodden doesn't.
No, but I don't think he was speaking for his team. He was speaking for himself.
No, that's my point. He thought he, you know, you think you're giving your best, but you're not. Maybe. You think you raised your game, but maybe you didn't.
Maybe.
And who knows? He's a corner that was irrelevant in a game where they weren't going to throw.
They needed Rodney Harrison in this game. That's the one guy I can think of.
A lot more than that.
I'm just talking about for the leadership part of it. That's the guy I think that, you know, guys like Brandon Merriweather needed in his face. I mean, I saw some emails people were complaining about after the game. Merriweather high-fiving guys on the Ravens and yucking it up and laughing. And to me, that's a defense mechanism. A lot of young guys do that after they get spanked. To show that, oh, you know, I'm not really hurt inside my pride. You know, they do that, and fans don't like it when they do that. You know, I wouldn't like it
as a teammate.
Yeah, they think that they don't care. And
not in the playoffs.
You know, sometimes it does mean that they don't care. Other times I think it's a defense mechanism.
Well, we've discussed that he and Maroney, maturity is an issue with both of them. As football players, as teammates, as leaders, all of it. Maturity is an issue.
We were talking about, you know, listen, it was a beatdown from the get-go, the very first play of the game, obviously. But there were a couple of glimmers of where you said, you know, maybe this could get them back in the game. You know, like the muffed punt, they get the touchdown, it's 24-7. Well, I thought a very key sequence in that game that I said to myself after this sequence, the game is over, was 24-7, end of the first half, 2:07 left. Chris Hansen's punt is down at the 4-yard line. Andy and I looked at each other and said, wow, this, you know, they get points here, then they get the ball to start the second half. They lined up. Patriots had 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning, so 4 clock stoppages. The Ravens lined up with an unbalanced line on 6 consecutive plays with no intentions whatsoever of throwing the ball against the 9 and 10 man front and got 2 first downs running the ball. And I said to my, you know, Andy agreed. He said it right away. That's game. Unless they turn it over and do something really crazy, that's what you're going to do the whole second half. And the Patriots obviously can't stop you.
Yeah. And you know, here's where I think, you know, my evaluation of Gerard Mayo is flawed. A lot of people said in this game that he had a terrible game, Gerard Mayo. To me,
he did.
I couldn't tell the difference between this game and the other games.
Well,
and I think that sums up the problem with Gerard Mayo.
We'd never seen him get beat in the hole like he did on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, generally he makes the plays if it's within the tackle to tackle. If there's a tackle to be made and he's in position, he makes it. On Sunday, he got juked like he was Brandon Merriweather. We haven't seen a lot of that, I don't think, Fred. But other than that, I agree with you that the lack of plays is not being there. Yeah. And I think some of that is, look at the first play of the game. We've said all year, Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo are your best players. Well, I'm sorry. No matter how it's blocked, how it unfolds, you can't allow in a playoff game the opponent to go 83 yards right up the gut on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
You can't. It just can't happen.
It just, you know, you could see how that play developed. They all went, you know, to their right, the Patriots, and that crease opened up, and Rice just cut it back right through that hole.
Well, I think Paul's right. Part of the problem was they had basically a run blitz on with James Sanders. And I jokingly said to him, I'm going to throw out my football lingo. And he's taught, if run is coming to that side, you scrape to see hard. You just get there. And he did that. He scraped to the edge hard.
Explain that a little bit, though, because
well,
I don't think people
the C
know what
gap,
you're talking about.
You know, we all know A, B, C gap. And sometimes you have run blitzes where as soon as it develops, you're not reading anything. You're filling a hole. And that's C, scrape to see, they used to always say. Hard. You're coming. That's why it's a run blitz. He did that. As you're right, it's developing that way, but then Rice just bends it back, and there's no James Sanders there to make that tackle that, as much as you make fun of me for, he makes a lot.
Yeah.
That 12-yard game touchdown-saving tackle. But because he's on a run blitz, he's gone. Now you have Merriweather chasing from, and then it all just poop hits the fan.
Yeah.
So they, a little bit of lack of luck there or whatever.
And that
but
stuff happens.
They made a
like
play.
Paul said, that stuff happens.
But it can't.
You expect the Patriots to answer. And then when they had the turnover, that was it.
It was unbelievable. Watching him run down the sideline, I kept saying this to Andy afterwards. I still thought it was like pregame warm-ups. There was nobody there. And I'm like, the game didn't really start yet. There's no way that this guy is running. And I'm watching, like, the Ravens sideline, because he ran right by the Ravens bench. Every single guy was jumping up. Right. All you saw was purple jumping up and down.
Right. Yeah, they had way more emotion.
And he delivered. I said to you, Paul, in pregame warmups, when they're running their team offense, when he wasn't in, he was walking up and down the goal line with both his fingers in the air, just like, today's my day. I'm a star. Today I'm going to be a star. And he delivered.
And Andy and I did have one funny thing before the game. You know, when the teams come out and they do the pregame, and then they go back in about 10 minutes before kickoff, they go back in the locker room, and then they come out. Well, before the Ravens went back in the locker room, they all met in the goal in the end zone under the goalpost, right underneath our press box. And Ray Lewis got going. God only knows what he was saying, you know. And he's, you know, gesturing and screaming and yelling, and the Ravens were just unbelievably pumped up. And me and Andy looked at each other and were like, "Ruh-ro," because if when he gets lathered up like that, and we talked, this is the one thing that worried me, Fred. I thought I was with you. I'm not going back on it, but the one thing that worried me all week, the Ravens, I knew, wouldn't be content to just come here and get beaten by the Patriots. They've won a lot of road playoff games in the Ray Lewis era. They don't go anywhere and expect to lose.
Right.
Jacksonville twice and the Jets once were teams that I thought were happy to be in the playoffs, didn't think they could come to Foxborough and win. I knew that Baltimore wouldn't have that mentality. Right. Now, I thought the Patriots would beat them. They didn't. But
and what's the one way I thought the Patriots would win? Rally. They do their little rally thing. Everybody hates us. Everybody's picking against us against the world.
Right, yeah.
They did the exact opposite. They were
everybody picks against us, and I think they're right.
It's basically the way they played. I see why they're picking against us. We're not that good.
They didn't think we could win in San Diego, so why should we even bother going?
I think one guy showed up is Kevin Falk.
Kevin Falk.
Personally.
To me, he
was irrelevant early. The only guy I saw show up for the New England Patriots in the first when they were getting beat 24-0 was Kevin Falk.
Yeah, and it's not about effort.
Right.
No. The one guy who showed up to play and played from word one was Kevin Falk.
And you talked about the lack of leadership before, Fred, and he was one guy we saw on the sidelines at one point. He was doing what Ray Lewis was doing before the game.
That time it was too late.
Yeah. No, I know, but my point is he was a guy who's been around in this era for all of the winning. So he remembers what it was like to rally.
Right.
Most of the guys on this team don't know what it is. So,
and that's my point with
Bob. I'm sure that at that point he said to himself, oh, my God, we're going to lose this game. You know,
he doesn't even do that.
Right.
You call it a Ray Lewis does that every week for every team in every game.
This is why I think
Kevin
Fred's
Falk
point
keeps his mouth shut. And you look over, and he's going absolutely
right.
Ray Lewis on the sideline.
He was going berserk. He couldn't believe what he was seeing.
And this is why I think Fred's point is a very good one about the leadership, because I just think it was lacking a little bit. They didn't have a lot of vocal leadership. They had guys that were sort of thrust into those roles that it's not really in their nature. I think Kevin Falk is one of them. I think Kevin Falk is a terrific lead by example guy. He does everything right.
And he said
and that's a good leader.
Yeah,
that's a good leader. But when you don't have Rodney and Brewski and Vrabel and maybe Seymour and some other guys, I think Brady is a lead-by-example guy.
No question.
I don't think Brady's a rah-rah lead.
I think
I know he can get on the sideline after a bad series and start getting in. I know he has that in him. He's very emotional. But I don't think that on a day-to-day basis he's a lead-with-my-mouth guy.
It's what we've always
Gerard
said.
Gerard Mayo is not a lead-with-your-mouth guy.
5 years ago for Brady, to be a great leader sometimes you have to be an a-hole. You have to call a guy out, not be afraid if the guy's going to get mad at you or you're going to lose a friend. And I think Brewski, Vrabel, Harrison, those guys were not afraid to be a-holes if they needed
to be.
That's true. I'm not sure you
Willie
James
McGinnis.
Sanders, I've talked to about this, the leadership. You know, everybody talked about him being a secondary leader coming back. He's not an a-hole. He's not going to call somebody out,
and
lay
top,
him down in front of their team, whatever.
And compounding that for him was this conversation with you when he wasn't playing for all those weeks.
I'm saying beyond that, I don't think Mayo's an a-hole. I don't think...
I know what you're saying.
It's like the sarcastic comments that Harrison makes.
Right.
You going home already?
Right.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you leaving already? You have to. I mean,
he would turn practice into a game within the game with Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys are going at it in practice.
I don't know what they have those now.
Right.
Now, they have nice, hardworking, quiet, do my job guys.
This might not be the right day for it, but I think we're going to get into this, and I want to get your opinions on this. Do you think there was a problem in the locker room? Forget the leadership. But do you think there was dissension in the locker room?
I think there always is when a team does underperforms.
Well, I'm going to ask you.
I think
you
there always is, and it happens five times a year, according to Teddy Bruschi.
I want to ask about a specific.
That's what he said. I forgot about that. That's right.
I want to ask about something specific, and that is the thing that kind of festered up about a week and a half ago with Derek Burgess and Belichick's over-the-top praise of Burgess's play. Supposedly, Ron Burgess talked to two. And I want to say supposedly because I don't want to use Ron Borges as the law, because we know that this is a guy who has blurred the lines of
he's got an agenda
with ethics and journalistic ethics.
Beyond the agenda, we know he's blurred the ethics.
Yeah, I don't care about an agenda, because if he actually talked to the guys, it has nothing to do with his agenda.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
If he didn't talk to anybody, he made it up, which is in play with this guy, because as I said, his journalistic ethics are blurred.
Goes to the Barnacle School of
journalism. He goes to an anonymous defensive lineman and says, Belichick said that Derek Burgess was the best player you've had at that position playing both the run and the pass. Mm. And that lineman responds with, he did not. And then he goes to another defensive lineman and he says, well, I guess that explains Chad Jackson. You don't think that that's a dissension mm-hmm. in the ranks heading into a playoff game?
Absolutely.
And then what happened on Sunday? For the first time in anyone's recollection, that defensive line got beaten up to a pulp.
Yeah.
I can't ever remember getting run on like that. Not like that.
And it's ironic that you bring that up, because he talks about how Bill talked about how great an edge setter against the run Burgess was. And Adalys Thomas started the game.
He's on the sideline.
That position against the team that you knew was going to run the ball heavily.
Yeah. It could be that Belichick put himself in a little bit of quicksand with things that he's done and then making up for it and then
and I also
doing
want to
something
say,
else.
Specifically,
I think it was,
oh,
it,
what
it was
a wondrous
probably,
web you weave.
It was probably a tough, you know, obviously it was a tough season, but probably his toughest season personality-wise.
Well, they had some adversity, not like the typical adversity, not with, you know, legal problems or injuries. They didn't have a lot of injuries this year.
No.
It just they had a lot of problems to deal with.
Speaking of problems, Pro Football Talk, Seymour would consider 31 teams. It's Greg Rosenthal posted it. After a year spent in Oakland, Richard Seymour is headed for unrestricted free agency. He's open to playing for about any team except the one that drafted him, he says. There's probably about 31 teams I'd consider going to, Seymour said in a conversation with Tom Curran. Curran asked him if he'd take a call from the Patriots if they approached him. That is something I'm looking to do at all. I think he meant not. But there's no ill will. I wish him the best. I really mean that. I think it could have ended in a more respectful way. That's just my personal opinion.
So. Okay. Well, I did want to get to Seymour, but not about that.
I did too, but
I wanted to
reason.
Get for Wilfork and Warren in particular, who I'm going to come out and say, if Borges indeed talked to two defensive linemen, I have to target Wilfork and Warren as my guys that I think he's talking about.
Playing the role of Ty Warren in today's show and naming unnamed sources.
But they're not my sources, so I'm not naming them.
Yeah,
I'm telling you who
true.
I think.
Right. Weren't Ty Warren's sources either.
You know what I'm saying? This is who I think said it.
That's why it's a Ty Warren.
And I'm wondering,
it's hard to picture Mike Wright or Jarvis Green saying those things.
And, well,
Ron
I could,
Brace.
Jarvis Green is a candidate, but I think it's Wilfork and Warren. And I wonder if Wilfork and Warren have had conversations with Seymour. Matter of fact, I'm not wondering if they did. I know for a fact they have. Because they've both said it.
I guarantee.
And that's bothered them, the way they treated Seymour and how they see that same thing's going to happen to Wilfork.
If that's true, Paul, pretty soon we'll see the Ron Borges story one-on-one with Wilfork talking about how pissed off he is and all that. And that will, if that comes out, then we'll know you're right.
Well, he already started down that road, and I assumed it was because of a conversation with Seymour. He said after the game he could see himself playing for another team. Still wants to be here, but he wants a long-term deal. And I said, is that the first time you've said that? And he said, no, but I had to be reminded that it's a business. Earlier in the year, I had to be reminded it's a business. I've talked to some friends around the league and people around the league, and I had to be reminded it's a business. And to me, that's a Richard Seymour. He talked to Richard Seymour during the season, and Richard said, you know what you're doing? You're going to get walked all over by showing up and living, you know, by being a stand-up guy. Yeah. You're going to get walked all over.
I think he by doing what he did, I think he only helped himself in the eyes of other teams. You know,
but it won't matter for 2 years. He's going to get franchised this year, and there'll be no football the next.
Well, in case in
3 years from now,
there won't be any football in 11.
Well,
please,
sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You better pray that there is.
I am,
but I see the writing on the wall.
Believe me, they're going to posture. It's going to get a lot worse than it looks right now. Even
they can't be that stupid.
I have a hard time believing that it's not.
Both of them are going to go right to the edge.
It's
brinksmanship when it comes to that. So, you know, we should be worried, but expect it.
But that's my with
expect
him.
It.
He's
expect
gonna
it
be
to
franchised.
Happen.
Yeah,
he's
that there will be football.
He has to
expect that it's going to go right to the wire.
But that there will be football.
I'm expecting there will be, but
I'm not expecting anything.
Also, that it will go right down to the wire.
But the point is, he's going to be franchised this year. They're not just going to let him go anywhere.
The Seymour thing.
So
I
he
think
has to sign it. And that, because if he's, is he going to sit out? With the potential that it goes right to the wire and then there's no football. Yeah. Now he's been sitting on the sidelines for 2 years.
Right.
Is he now, now is he going to get $100 million on free agency? No.
And you have to worry about what kind of shape he's going to be in, even after 1 year if he sits out.
Right.
But if it's two.
About a week, if I were worried about that.
Yeah, I don't want to skip around here.
Your shirt says Fat Boy on it.
I wanted to stick with the locker room. I thought your leadership comment about the locker in the locker room, Fred, I think is relevant to this game. And that's why I brought it up. And where the Seymour correlation comes in, as I wonder, you said that, was that the first time you asked Vince? Is that the first time you said that? And I'm wondering, when they traded Seymour, Vince didn't think, okay, I don't like the fact that they traded Seymour because that's going to hurt us, but this has at least got to be something selfishly right. I got to get taken care of now. And then he didn't get taken care of during the course of the season. I don't know if there were any negotiations at all between the player and the team at that time. I don't think there were, based on comments that he's made, but I don't know that to be fact. Maybe he's looked at that and said, this still won't take care of me, so now they're going to get rid of me and Richard?
Yeah.
And then Ty Warren looks at that and says, yeah, I got a contract, but where's everybody going? You know, what do we have left here on defense? And I just wonder if they looked at that and said, I don't like the direction that this is going.
And I think your
point. I don't think it's a conscious, I'm going to go out there and roll over on Sunday, but I wonder if maybe that same desire, intensity of, you know, of the past wasn't there.
And I think your point, Paul, about the locker room, there being sort of a fissure in there, I think is accurate.
Fissure? What does that mean?
A split.
Oh, a fissure. Oh, okay.
Fissure.
Okay.
F-I-S-S-U-R-E.
Yes.
I was lost
I was
for
thinking
a couple.
F-I-S-H-E-R when he first said it, but now I know the word he's talking
I started
about.
With a guy who had a fishing pole in my mind. Then I was like, Jeff Fisher?
A schism, if you will. And I think if you want to talk about...
Well, schism
again,
wouldn't be the right
not,
word.
Not...
Schism is a separation in beliefs.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what he just described. Anyway, Adalis Thomas and Sean Springs, by the way.
Schism between Adalis Thomas and Bill Belichick?
Thank
oh,
you.
I thought you were talking about the hole in the line. Because that was a fissure, too.
The hole in the line.
All right. Can we go back to
no.
The gap.
No. He's talking about...
Anyway...
Mind the gap.
Personality-wise.
And we're back to England.
You can take whoever side you want.
Paul wants to be serious today. He's not happy that three other people are just screwing around in front of him.
Adalis Thomas and Sean Springs, I think, had a mindset that grew in the second half of the year. They got more guys in their crew, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they were 7-5 in desperate straits. And after Bill sort of banished these guys, he then turned to Sean Springs specifically and said, hey, you think you can help me win a couple of games down the stretch? I'm kind of desperate now.
Need you to start some games here.
You know? I think there was some issues there.
Yeah, I think there was, too. Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of issues.
Let the frivolity ensue.
But the bottom line is,
Perosi.
Sunday, there was no leadership. There was no anything that mattered.
That was a team.
Because they got their asses whooped.
And they looked like they didn't have the heart to come back.
Right. And Paul's right. Whether it's subconscious, unconscious, something non-conscious,
and
they had no chance. They didn't show up to play like the Ravens did.
I'll tell you what was a good indicator of that was, you know, I think in years past, maybe they've done this, but if I see a player immediately after the game in the locker room, a guy is filling up a trash bag to clean out his locker. I mean, immediately. It's not even a half hour after the game ends, and a guy is already hurrying to throw stuff in a bag to clean out his locker. That tells me he wasn't emotionally invested enough in the fact that his team just lost and their season ended.
And there were a lot of guys doing
And there were
that.
A lot of guys doing
but
that.
But beyond that, there were guys smiling. Just like when Brandon Merriweather and those guys were laughing it up, I saw Derek Burgess, and he was all smiles. Couldn't have been smiling anymore and showing more teeth. And actually, another reporter said, isn't it a little weird that we're about 10 minutes from an embarrassing
loss?
Well,
he's used to this.
And he's, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Like, he might have thought he turned it up a notch, but
right,
did he?
Right.
I know he played with Philadelphia, but...
Like, if Rodney
Knowing
Harrison...
Knowing how to play in the postseason is something.
You know, Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, any one of those guys, Mike Vrabel, if those guys were in that position and had just gotten their butts kicked at home in a playoff game and
they'd
the season
They'd be doing the
ended,
high school football thing, sitting in front of their locker with their pads on, their
exactly,
helmets on, sulking.
Sitting there sulking for 45 minutes while the rest of the media waits for them to try to talk a little bit.
Yeah, right. Paul didn't do that in high school, and that's why he sucked.
I never did that in high school.
But remember, it's a couple weeks ago we talked about...
Media.
Who was it that said... Brewski would always make other people at least pretend it really mattered to him. Who said
right,
that?
Right, you wouldn't want to show that kind of
Ted Johnson said it
in front of a
Bruschi
guy like
and Harrison,
Rodney Harrison or
even if you didn't really care right. as much as they cared, you didn't let them see that you didn't care. Yeah, you pretended you
right,
cared.
That's yeah. a good point. They and in a game like
they
that,
they pick your butt.
Andy made a point about the game too. It was over for so long that there's a chance that maybe by the time the game actually officially ended, you know, you've moved past pissed off a long time ago.
Right, that's true.
Because that
right.
game was over so long. But to Teddy Johnson's point. When you're a competitor, you don't let the media come in and see you think, oh, I'm already over this one.
And the yeah. guy I'll use is my – it was over in the first quarter for Bill Belichick, too, but
he was still
almost in tears at the podium.
Yeah.
He was getting choked up every time
he
answered.
He was emotionally invested
it didn't make it any easier on him, and I would consider him one of the elite competitors in that mold of Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison.
Because he's not one of those guys that thought, what's the difference? We don't have a chance in San Diego next week anyway.
Right, exactly. And the guy that I thought went the other way was Brady. He clearly had the time to – in the first half, sometime get our ass
whooped. He decompressed
whooped.
And was his smiley Opie Taylor
and,
at that.
But
podium.
Even almost philosophical and looking back on the season, I mean, how many times talking about the game did he reference second half failures this year? It was like he was looking at everything big picture.
And he was, and I don't want to make that's not. I'm not making fun of Brady. I
no.
thought Brady was very, very good.
He just wasn't throwing a Gatorade bottle and storming off the podium
it wasn't
against
the
Colts.
It wasn't the guy who refused to go to the podium.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think he resigned himself to the fact that A. this season wasn't going to be special long before yesterday Sunday.
Yep.
And B, like Andy said, the game had been over. You know, for him, the game was over in the first quarter. And I think he had sort of come to grips with that.
All right, 508-543-7482. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a lot of people doubting Bill Belichick. Is it warranted? We'll talk about it.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about... samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday. Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Here's what PFW in progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
I don't think the league made us do that. Because the league was on us for a long time about the condition of our field. And we never did anything about it until we lost to a bum team. Sorry about that.
Whoa.
Sorry about that.
What are you doing?
It's been a while.
Wow.
It's been a while.
No, but
I apologize a thousand times.
The league did force the Patriots.
See what happens?
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. On it right now is Chris with a T-I-A-N. Chris, how you doing?
How am I doing? Well, I stopped puking. I mean, you know, obviously we can't swear, so what the fuck was that?
You can't do that.
My Paul does.
Not like
wow.
that.
No,
that was
wow.
intentional.
You can't, you can, you know, if it slips out on
He
accident,
told you
Chris,
before he swore that he was going to swear. Chris,
no, he said he couldn't swear. And
then he did.
Out.
Wow.
He was on hold for a while, too, for that.
Christian,
that.
Come on. You're better than that.
Oh, wow.
You're better than that.
Our favorite all-time caller?
I appreciate the emotion, Christian.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Christian's a guy that would have been sitting in front of his locker for 45 minutes.
I could have put up with that.
That's still on.
I could have put up with that. At 5:30 Sunday night, if we had a post game show, this is Tuesday, people. Come on,
that's true. Paul was calling for a post game show.
I definitely
PFW.
I wanted to do a post game PFW in progress.
I definitely share the feeling, but you just can't do that. All right,
I was so stunned that I wanted to do a post game PFW in progress. I needed to vent.
Well, I think a lot of people needed to vent. Andy said, you know, we should do this, but
you sit in front of your computer with your fake pads on?
Oh no, I told you, I didn't even do that when I played. I was very cordial to the media.
You lying your ass.
So you were the Matthew Slater, you know, nice guy everybody goes to talk to. He's irrelevant.
Paul would sit there.
He's like analyzing it.
Media covering Everett High School.
Well, see,
no offense, by the way, to Matthew Slater.
Back in the Everett days, you know, they had a little.
I actually wrote the stories in the Everett paper.
Paul had a lazy boy in front of his locker in Everett High School. And he'd sit there.
Me and Barry Bonds.
He'd sit there in his tidy whities with his Diet Pepsi, and the media would gather around.
Didn't even have Diet Pepsi then, did they?
Back then.
What is wrong with you?
It's that stuff they're bringing back now. Pepsi
Tab Classic.
With real sugar.
That's what I need.
For a limited time.
That's what I need.
Before we went to the break, I mentioned, I've been listening to sports radio. I haven't shut it down. And a lot of people calling in.
A lot of phone calls.
Not,
are they actually getting them?
I wouldn't say the majority, but enough that it's a trend. This is it for Belichick. He's over. You know, it's done. He's lost his message. Is lost. He's lost his mojo.
It's so ridiculous.
Some even saying he never had it. He got lost.
Oh my God!
You know, so I just think that
we are getting, just to back up your point, Fred. I'm doing Ask PFW. It probably isn't going to get posted till tomorrow because we have to go and do the TV show. There's a lot, and I want to let the people get their venting in, but there's a lot of Ask PFW is with that kind of line of thought.
My feeling is that some of these people are the ones that had it out for him since day one. They just never liked the guy. And this whole thing about
RonB@Herald.com.
Yeah, the post game thing. You know, he owes the fans and the media an explanation after a game. He shouldn't treat him like that. I'm just wondering, what is it? What explanation did they need after a game like that? What is it that he needs to explain after the game?
I heard a very funny call on the way home after we were done the other night along those lines. The guys on the Sports Hub, and one of them is Jerry Trupiano. I don't know what the other gentleman's name is.
Jerry Trupiano.
They were talking, and they were saying that.
It doesn't sound like that.
He needs to explain himself after games, after losses. And the guy calls up, he goes, I don't look at it that way. I don't think he needs to explain himself. But, you know, I look at the game. I don't need him to explain to me what happened. I know, I mean, I watched the game, and I can analyze what happened myself. So they say, well, what happened? They go, well, he just got blown out in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know, they got an 83-yard run, and then the strip sack, and the game was over. Well, what kind of an explanation is that?
Kind of the truth, though. I mean, Bill
it
said
is
it.
Kind of the truth.
No, if I had the explanation, I would have fixed it while it was going on.
Right. Bill doesn't owe anybody any. First of all, Bill
there
probably doesn't
any.
Realize exactly how it all happened. When you're standing on the sideline, you think he knows exactly what happened on the 83-yard run?
Right.
And, no.
And really, other than saying we got outplayed and outcoached, he can't get particular. See, you're a coach, and you're asking your players to trust you.
Right.
The last thing you can do is go in front of a mic and then call out individuals. Now you're betraying the trust that you're asking them of you.
If he's going to be up,
there are coaches who have done that, and players don't appreciate it. Let me tell you something.
If he's going to be up
front about
it,
coaches have done it.
Well, no. That good coaches don't do that.
That's my.
That's
point.
What he said.
I mean, I don't think anybody who's thought of as even a decent coach goes out and says,
exactly.
Well, we got our nose tackle killed on the first play of the game. We go 83 yards, and it was over from there.
Whenever you do that,
you're not going to be in the playoffs.
Whenever
regularly.
You see a good coach specifically call out a player, it's for a reason.
Right. It's by design.
It's designed to get that guy either exposed or motivated or something. There's some reason. But good coaches don't. You know, if he's going to be up front, he's got to say something like what Andy just said.
Especially 5 minutes after the game.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you just can't do that.
And he said that a few times in the press conference. And, you know, we just got off the field.
We're playing with Jarvis Green at that defensive end spot. I mean, what do you expect us to do? He's got to say something like that. They ran at Jarvis Green all day.
Right.
But we're also seeing what we've talked about all along. If you have these great relationships with the media and all smiles, you get longer rope. If you don't, when you start to not win, they start to reel you in because they can.
I think
it goes the same thing with negative fans.
But I also think whether you're a nice guy or a jerk or anything in between, if you're not winning, the rope goes away. It doesn't matter.
But there's a longer rope. Fred, he was the 3 seed. It's not like he had a terrible season. It's quick. There's a quick release there. I think Pete Carroll had a longer rope at USC through all these scandals because everybody loves him.
Well, it's also college.
Everybody loves Pete.
Don't compare college to the pros.
I'm not. I'm comparing coaching and how you treat people.
Right.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
it's not necessarily the people as it is the heat, the scrutiny. And the LA Times is a tough paper that covers that team like a pro beat.
Right.
And he's gotten a lot of rope out there because he's,
but he's also won.
And thanks again. Yeah.
It's only till recently where he started to lose.
I mean, it's clear that he's cheated.
Well, now that's everything that's transpired.
Now? He's getting in trouble for what he did 5 years ago.
I know, but we didn't know that 5 years ago.
No, I understand what you're saying, but don't say that he did a great job and that's why he's getting.
You're getting into too many details.
He's a great guy.
But will you say he's got rope now?
Yes.
You think they're giving him rope now?
Yes.
Really?
What heat is he under? He just signed a $30+ million contract.
No, I'm talking about with the media.
Who's killing him? Who's beating him up?
I think.
Show me a negative column on him.
As soon as they get all the details, he's going to get killed, and to the point where he knew he had to get out of there.
Well, I think that
he had to resign.
But he's ahead of the curve. I think most guys wouldn't be allowed to be ahead of the curve.
Right. This is
the curve would have chewed him up two years ago.
But this just started coming out, right?
No.
There's been a scandal every year for five years.
Reggie Bush was involved in it.
But Reggie Bush, that's before he even became, it happened while he was a Trojan.
While he was a Trojan.
But, I mean, how could Pete Carroll have had a control over that situation?
Well, because Pete Carroll's a good guy. That's the reaction.
The program is as dirty as they come.
Well, I don't.
That's the reaction because how could Pete Carroll have done it? If this was, one of these hard-ass kind of guys.
Well, Mike Leach. I think Mike Leach was a hard-ass, and he lost his job because of it.
Well,
everybody circled.
You can't make the argument that he didn't cause the problem.
No,
that caused him to get fired.
See, that's the thing. You know, the Reggie Bush thing aside, all this stuff is fairly recent, as far as all the stuff that's coming
The Reggie Bush thing aside. But that's happened every year.
There's been a different one all the time.
Well, what's the other one?
You just don't know who all the players are.
I don't.
There's always
something. That's the difference.
All I've heard about until now was the Reggie Bush thing.
Because he's
the guy Reggie
Bush.
Right. That happened years ago when he was drafted.
But there have been other instances with lesser name guys than Reggie Bush at that program.
We're off track.
But, sorry.
Yeah, that was a nonsense.
No, I don't know about this stuff,
That's my point.
That's kind of what we're trying to drive.
My point is,
if Bill Belichick makes one little mistake, I think everybody wants to pounce on it.
But
Pete Carroll makes something that you don't even know about.
But that's not true, Andy. When Pete Carroll was here, he got killed.
Pete Carroll couldn't
get jacked up for this one, man. Yeah.
But he was a good guy.
Right, but he couldn't coach.
But if you don't win, you get it.
He won.
But if he had won.
Not to the degree that people thought he should have.
But he won games. And he had longer here because of it.
But, Andy.
While running a team into the ground.
But that's even making my point. He won and he still got killed.
But he
because he was too nice.
No, my point.
They made fun of him.
We should have not.
See, I don't think he. I don't think he won here. He took over a team that was a Super Bowl team and he gradually declined.
Right.
To the point where it was a non-playoff team his third year.
That's right.
So I don't think
he
won.
Gone. And he was a great guy.
Right.
And that and
he got shorter rope than some guys
because
in a jerk.
He failed.
And the guy who's a
and
jerk.
That's my point, Paul. It doesn't matter what your personality is. If you fail,
what
the
I'm
rope
telling you
goes.
Is if
the
you,
second week of 2001, they were already circling Bill Belichick.
And I'm yeah.
Well,
I'm
but
telling,
he but he also had a history. He came,
of being a jerk. So and, people didn't like him.
And
so they were predisposed to the guy stinks.
Mm. Right.
Let's
but,
run him out of town.
But he also came from a program where he didn't win in Cleveland. You know, his last instance of head coach
right,
wasn't
right.
successful.
Right.
So he didn't
know.
Come here with a resume.
People didn't like him. That's why.
That's true.
They
but
circle.
Again, but,
if they don't like you, they start
is,
circling
my point
immediately.
Is, I don't think it matters in pros whether you're a good guy or a bad guy. If you fail, the sharks are going to circle.
So, all right. Here's an example.
The team won 10 games, was the 3 seed. And
how about Bill Parcells, for an example?
That's failing?
Who's a good guy?
Well, Parcells is a media darling.
Who's a good guy that you think wins?
I'll
let you pick the guy, because if
Andy
I pick
Andy Reid.
Okay.
Tony Dungy?
Crap.
Tony Dungy is the perfect
okay.
pick. Do you think if Spygate happened to Tony Dungy that he would have had the same reaction that Bill Belichick got?
No. No, I don't.
But that's what Andy's talking
that's my
about.
Point.
That proves that.
And
proves
I think it's not just media. I think it goes to fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of fans that like winning. They don't like what they've seen from Bill at times over the years.
And
whether
right.
it's cameramen or leaving the field, there's specific things that fans, I don't think, said, that's my ideal head coach. But you know what? We go to the playoffs every year. He's my coach.
Mm. Yeah, but
he's my a-hole.
It's, no, also, it's no, also why
but when
so
you
many,
lose, now right. you're just an a-hole.
No,
you're not
I
mine
understand
anymore.
That, but, you know, on one side, people say, oh, nobody, you know, nobody, no coach gets kowtowed more to than Belichick. He gets protected. Everyone's afraid to criticize him. And on the other hand, you guys are saying that people hate him because he's a jerk.
Right. Because
so
when do they
do
criticize
they hate him,
him?
Or do they not criticize
when they have the first opportunity.
Right.
You can't criticize him in the midst of winning. In the midst of success,
right? That's why
you have to wait for the first shoe to drop of failure.
I think that
that's getting
the
blown
reaction,
out of wild card weekend is that opportunity.
The reaction to the small periods of
and
failure
that
we've had
in the beginning
have been far stronger than I think they should be for a guy who's had his track record. And I think it's
by the media.
People don't like him
by
the
media,
media and the fans.
And the fans too.
I'm not taking the fans off the hook on this one.
And that's what I said.
Every game we lose, they want him out.
No,
right?
And I'll
show you the email.
And I said that I think a lot of the fans we're hearing from on sports radio are the ones that just didn't like him.
Now those are reactionary
people. To them.
Yeah,
but they were waiting. They were
and that's
waiting.
Not the majority. Yeah. We know the people that write in and call into shows are not necessarily the viewpoint of the fans at large. But we do get a lot of very strong opinions. Every time they lose.
And we get
but
opinions,
I'm not talking
we
about,
get opinions from non-Patriot fans who are fans of other teams who write in.
But that I don't.
That's, you know,
what I'm talking about is specifically people who don't like what he does. Certain things. The way faces he makes, handshakes he doesn't do.
Answers
and
he
And they
doesn't
don't
give.
Talk about it. They just let it come. Because I kind of like going 11-5 every year and winning it. But the first thing they say is, that's not my coach. That's disrespectful. He needs to have more respect for the game. We got a bunch of emails today that say, you know, Mr. Kraft needs to, like, tighten the screws.
Right.
What
do you want me to tell you?
Saying, you know, he needs to take a closer look at what Bill's doing day to day and maybe not have so much freedom to make all the decisions football-wise.
That's what it's going to be an interesting offseason. Not so much because I think that this team is, you know, in disarray. I think there's a talented core here still, and I think the young guys will get better, especially on defense. But there is an element of, you know, that we talked about all last offseason about is Bill doing too much. When you have a personnel director who's also a de facto offensive coordinator, let's call it what it is. He was a wide receivers coach. He called plays reportedly called plays at times. And he's trying to find you players as well. And you have no offensive coordinator in name, although everybody is convinced that Bill O'Brien is the
right, he's certainly getting
the tumor that needs to be removed from the team.
He's getting all the blame.
Ben Watson put it all on his shoulders. I don't know if you saw that on he does a post game.
I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of love for
he
Ben
said
Watson.
The offensive coordinator is Billy O'Brien. He said it just like that. Like, matter-of-factly, he was the offensive coordinator this year. So
I heard a rumor that Watson already put his house up on the market.
There have been three reports that three different guys have called plays for the Patriots at times this season.
Right.
You
can't do that.
But the bottom line is, as Bill always says, it's his problem. It's his fault.
It is.
Because no matter what decision you ask about, free agent signings, coaching promotions, not filling slots from out, whatever it is, he's the guy. He made the decision to spread himself thin. With his philosophies of promoting within, with his philosophy of, you know, we're going to get Sean Springs and we're going to get these guys for X amount of dollars and not Asante Samuel. Well, he said all year, this team needs playmakers. How do you get playmakers? You pay them generally, right?
Sure. Yeah.
This Kmart blue light special that was all the rage in 2001 doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked.
Sweeps across the board. It's the free agent philosophy that you just talked about, Andy. It's constantly trading down in the draft because...
Ooh, that's really bothering people.
Right. And
but now people are mad about the Seymour trade because we'll never make that pick anyway. That's a perfect example.
No matter the whatever way they've done it over the last couple of years, the fans are going to say that's not the way to do it.
I disagree.
Well, when they were doing that and they were winning, it was great. Right.
That's the way to do it. They know how to do it.
But the bottom
line is, it's the wrong way.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
No, but you generally get what you pay for, right? In life. I'm not even saying football. You know, if you want quality stuff, buy stuff,
but
you get what you pay for.
Free agency is very tough.
Have you heard people absolutely shred Bill for signing Adalys Thomas? Because I haven't.
I haven't either.
I've heard him rip Adalys Thomas.
Because he's not.
Because you know why?
Because
he went out and he spent $30 million.
He tried to get
an elite playmaker. He blew it because the guy stinks and didn't work
out. Well, it's the same thing in the Eagles. Is anyone ripping them for going after Asante Samuel? What have they won since they got him?
A lot of games.
I don't know. He's an all-pro cornerback who led the NFL.
So the Patriots since they got Adalys Thomas. But it, you know, as a fan,
he hasn't been a part of it.
Okay.
Are you really going to compare the signing of Asante Samuel
has been a big part of their success?
I think it's the same type of effort.
When was Asante inactive?
Asante Samuel has been a part of the Eagles' success.
Healthy scratch.
Adalys Thomas is along for the ride.
I know, but if you're looking,
how many Pro Bowls has he been?
The bottom line is, how does it help your team win championships?
No, that's not the bottom line. It's how does that guy help your team win games?
Right. So Tom Brady,
one guy hasn't
now?
Helped them win one game.
Won championships? Tom Brady's still great. Asante Samuel's still great.
I mean, you can have your hatred for a guy who's gone, but you can't dismiss the fact that he's helped the team that he's on now win games.
He didn't even have to think about
that. Hasn't helped anybody
win.
We were
talking about Adalys Thomas, and immediately he thought of bad free agent signing for another team, and what jumped into his head? Asante Samuel.
I would argue that's one of the best five free agent signings of the last 5 years.
He's one of the greatest playmaking corners.
He's not making that much money.
You're totally misreading what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I thought it was a bad signing by the Eagles.
Okay.
I'm not saying that.
We were comparing it to Adalys Thomas.
I'm just saying that you can make a good signing in free agency, and sometimes it doesn't work.
No, but
you shouldn't criticize a team for going out and trying, even if it doesn't lead to a championship.
No, I wouldn't criticize.
We're criticizing the guy hasn't made any plays, hasn't played up to the contract. The team could have gone 0-16, but if Adalys Thomas had 16 sacks, 4 interceptions, and 3 forced fumbles, you'd say, wow, imagine how bad they'd be without him.
Right.
He hasn't done that.
But I wouldn't criticize Bill for making that signing. I think that was
a good signing. That's my point. But you'll get criticized if you sign all these bargain basement guys, because that's going against – that's 4th-and-2. That's going for it. That's against the grain.
And
the easy way to do things is to throw money
at him. When he was doing that, they were winning. It was the right way to do it.
Right. They were praising him.
Right.
But if the opposite
that's
is
where his genius came so from. Fickle.
But it's a harder way to do it, Fred. Doing it that way is harder. When you trade down constantly in the draft, it's harder to find a great player the lower you go.
Well,
that's fact.
No. It's harder to find a great player. Absolutely. But that's not what it's about.
So the
it's
least
about
amount
winning.
Of money you...
Which is harder.
They're not winning, Fred.
I know, but neither, again, you can go out and get a great guy like Samuel and do the same thing as far as winning. That's my point. Either way can work. You have to be lucky in both. They say that free agency is, they talk about the draft being an inexact science. Free agency is just as inexact. You never know how the guy.
I agree.
You know, the Eagles struck. They did well signing Samuel, but you never know how a guy's going to react to your
system. I agree. It's not easy. No one's suggesting that winning is easy.
So just going out and buying talent doesn't always work.
But Fred, you're going to buy talent no matter what. It's just as hard to make a crappy corner fit in your system as it is a good one. It's easier if the guy has a lot more talent. You're going to spend money. You're going to go out and sign a guy
to
fill slot
But you have
B.
to factor in salary cap. You
right.
can't
and
just
you know
have
what?
You don't anymore because the cap is so high.
But even
it's
if
no
you do. But even if you do.
You do.
Not.
But even if you do, is it better value to pay Asante Samuel $6 million to pick off 9 passes? Or is it better value to pay Sean Springs $2 million or $3 million to be on the bench and inactive for a month?
The answer, obviously, is Samuel. But
thank you.
You have to factor in when that decision has to be made. What else is going on in your team? How much room do we have in the cap? What other needs do we have?
If I
sign this guy, what do I have to do here? There's a lot. You can't just say, this guy's great, we need him.
Well, I would argue
it would be great to be able to do that, but you can't
the bulk of the middle to low-end money decisions in recent years have failed. Galloway and Lewis and trying to things on these $1 and $2 million players instead of signing four.
They're in a bad stretch, but that doesn't mean that their philosophy is wrong. See, because it's been
I
right
think,
before.
I think it is wrong, and I think it's a lot harder to do it that way than it is to go out and target one or two guys and spend some money and use a top 10 pick rather than trade down four times. It's harder to do it that way. They did it.
But there's a lot of teams that do exactly what you want that never win, Paul.
And they don't have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Oh, okay. I tend to believe
they don't
if I give Bill Belichick high talent, he's going to make the most of it.
But, and I would point to you the 2007 season as Exhibit A.
Yep.
When they emptied the coffers and did everything they could to make the team as strong as it could, they came a minute and a half away from immortality. That would be my argument.
Well, what do you mean they emptied the coffers in 2007?
Moss, Welker, Thomas.
Moss was a bargain basement deal.
Yeah, but no,
they
Paul's
went
point
and
is,
made a highly,
point is,
highly controversial trade
Dante Stallworth?
For an immensely talented player.
But that
wasn't,
Kyle
that had,
Brady.
That had
first
nothing
day
to do with
first
money.
First day of free agency, Kyle Brady, Dante Stallworth, Kelly Washington, within the first two weeks, they were aggressive.
They were frugal.
Those deals were no
huge money. $4 million a year for Kelly Washington? Are you kidding
Paul,
me?
They spent the same amount of money this year. They might have spent it wrong.
Differently.
Yeah, they might have spent it wrong, but the money they spent was
high
the same.
High impact, high priced guys.
Kelly Washington,
the same amount of money this year.
Randy Moss, that was a bargain. Everybody
Randy Moss was a highly controversial acquisition.
But it had nothing to do with
money.
They
weren't afraid. It certainly had something.
If Randy
to do with
Moss
money.
Was available and they didn't have him this year, they would have got him this year too. There was no change of philosophy from 07 to now. No, it's the same philosophy.
If you want to believe
they didn't spend
that,
the same
then
amount
that's
of money.
If you want to believe that, that's fine.
Of
I don't buy
they did
it.
Not. They spent the same amount on free agents this year as they
not
did in 07.
Not on free agents. I'm talking about in the cap and everything.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about.
That's not what we're talking about.
The money, the checks you wrote out. To get
if there was a guy like Randy Moss available in the draft in 09, they would have gotten him if they could. He was available then. It wasn't like they went out and purchased Randy Moss. That was a bargain.
They went out and purchased Wes Welker.
They got him for a fourth-round pick and $1 million.
They went out and purchased Wes Welker.
Yes, they did.
They went out and purchased Adalys Thomas.
Yes, they did. And
they went out and purchased Kelly Washington and Dante Stallworth.
Who was the guy?
Kyle Brady.
And this year they would have purchased Jason Taylor if he wanted to come here.
No. Because if you had thrown enough money at him, he probably would have.
You can't argue with
you. You tried to get him for a veteran
because they spent to the cap in both years. It's the
same.
Are you
trying to tell me from 07 to 09 their philosophy changed?
They didn't spend the money
they
did in 07.
The same.
Because the same guys weren't available.
Are you Julius Peppers me they didn't was have available.
No. Oh, God.
If you wanted to go get him, go get him.
Okay. Should they have gotten – if you were
do
GM –
do I agree with it? No.
Okay.
But
thank you.
He's available.
And they agree with
if you,
you Andy.
Decide,
you
right.
You don't think
and what did that get
they
him?
Treated that offseason
that get him January
this
off.
I think
you think it's all about available talent?
Yes.
You're crazy.
Paul, you crazy. Can't just fabricate these guys.
I'm not fabricating anything.
Look,
I'm going with facts.
You have to look at the landscape. If you don't think the guys out there are either worth the money or can help you, you don't make the move.
You, know
you don't just do it to
you
do it.
You know what? Too many times the guys, quote-unquote, aren't worth the value
right.
for my liking. Can we leave it at that?
So
if it's not a change in philosophy, too many times the guys aren't worth the value. And that's why you have a team that just got blistered in the playoffs on its home field.
Right, this year.
Right.
And didn't make the playoffs
right. We're
last
discounting
year.
The and didn't make the playoffs
We're discounting
year.
That this philosophy has created a dynasty, according to a lot of people.
It did, but
listen,
people's point is it's not working now.
You're
that's
missing
what
my
seeing.
Point.
But you can't do this every year.
But you're
but
missing
Fred,
my point, Fred.
Is it 10
it's
years
harder
later?
To do it that way. They're to be commended for succeeding.
Right.
Paul, I think that's the harder way to do
I'm
it.
I'm not sure. Ask the Washington Redskins what's hard.
The Washington Redskins don't have the talent the Patriots have.
They sure
they don't have
for
Tom
it.
Brady.
They sure well. They spend
you put
it
Tom
wrong.
Brady on that team, and they go to the playoffs
Paul,
every year.
Paul,
every year,
I know. But Paul, you can spend money. You can go out and spend money on the wrong players.
So you think Bill will sign the wrong guy?
What do you mean?
Bill is going to make the decision.
Right.
I generally think if you give him enough money, he'll sign the good, expensive player. If you give him a little bit of money, he'll sign the best, cheap player.
So you're saying that
if you put Bill Belichick as the GM of the Redskins, I think the Redskins would be a very good football team because he'd have spent $100 million every offseason for the last 8 years in a row.
Would he have spent the money on Albert Haynesworth that the Redskins?
I don't know or
probably.
Care. I would
well,
just like
maybe
to hand Bill $100
million. He was available.
He may not have because that's a 3-4, you know, might not have fit his 3-4
but
system.
But my point is if Daniel
Snyder
gave
there.
Bill
no,
the money,
Paul,
he'd
that's
spend
you just made my point.
But he definitely would have been the talent
he didn't fit. He didn't fit what
the Patriots would,
wanted,
the
so
Patriots,
they didn't go get him.
The Patriots
he was available
would,
to the
was,
Patriots.
If he was the best 3-4 defensive end of all time, they would not
but
have
But he wasn't.
Him. I'm saying if he was because they don't believe in it. They wouldn't have given him that contract.
Well, look.
That's
look,
my opinion, Fred.
But you said
if
it,
you don't agree with it, that's fine, but that's my opinion.
But, Paul, you said in 07 they did do that.
I think yes. they opened the coffers for 1 year
they
and they came a minute and a half away.
Listen
that's
to
the
me.
One
listen
exception in the 10-year history.
Listen to me. There were no coffers needed to be opened to get Randy Moss.
That's one guy. What about the six others they signed?
What? I'm telling you.
That's the only time they were ever that aggressive on free agency.
Ever. Because they looked at opportunity and happened to be there.
They got embarrassed and their asses whooped in the 06 title game. And
by
they got a lost opportunity because they let other guys go. Right. And they learned a lesson from it.
And, by the way, the quarterback blistered him for it because he didn't have any receivers to throw to. Behind closed doors, the quarterback was very upset about that.
And so they targeted a guy in restricted free agency that – You know, a lot
He's
of
just completely dismissing Dante Stallworth and Kelly Washington, who signed obscene money for contracts for what they were
there
worth.
There were outs for the team.
They were overpaid, both of them.
They signed Redskins contracts is what they signed.
They went after
somewhat
wide
fictitious
receiver
big money
because they didn't know they were going to get Welker and Moss down the road. Right. They thought it was going to be Stallworth and Washington.
That's where there's a little gray.
Right, and if they had gotten Welker and if they knew they were going to get Welker and Moss, would they have paid those guys?
No, but they got them all. Is my point.
You keep making my point.
No
one is making your point
yet,
exactly including you.
Paul, Eric, Andy, and I are making our point, and you're not making any.
The guys that made those decisions in 07 are the same guys that have been making the decisions since 01 until
now. I'm not getting
into
what I think the difference is, and you know why, so stop saying
that. I don't know. Paul, I don't know.
If you don't think there's a difference, then you haven't been paying attention to
the
economy the last 2 years.
It's the same guys that have been making the decisions all the way around.
Well,
that's
your opinion. It's not mine.
You know, Belichick has always liked Randy Moss. He saw an opportunity to get him.
You can keep putting this on Belichick all you want. It's not my feeling. So
what, he's not making the decisions?
No. You can put two and two together and see if you can figure out what we're talking about.
So all of a sudden,
if you don't think they did something different in 07 than they did in all the other 9 years, then you haven't paid attention.
I just think the opportunities were there for guys that they thought could help them, and they went for it. I think if those guys were available,
they wouldn't be going for it today.
Randy,
if
there was a guy like Randy Moss that you could get for a fourth-round pick and $1 million, they
would
have
Why do you
keep
fixating on the one guy who wasn't a lot of money?
Because that was the main guy.
What about the six others that were a lot of money? Those are the guys they wouldn't be signing today.
They overpaid all the rest of them.
They wouldn't be signing Adalis Thomas for $35 tomorrow.
I think
If some Adalis Thomas clone was available on the market this year, they wouldn't be giving him $35 million. In my opinion.
Well, I don't know what the market would bear, but I think that if they saw a guy like that that they liked, they would make a competitive offer.
I don't think they would be.
So you're thinking the Patriots have gotten cheap?
I think they overpaid in 07. I don't think they'll do that again.
I don't think...
That's my opinion. Well, just my opinion. I don't think they'll do that. That's the only time I could say that I felt like they were aggressive and went out and spent maybe a little bit more than they had to. I don't think I haven't seen any indications that they've done that before that or since. And if you want to keep doing that and keep saying we can't sign the number 9 overall pick in the draft because it's too much money, it's not cost effective, then you reap what you sow.
Well,
you end up with a lesser player.
Draft is a whole different...
Why? It's the same philosophy.
No,
it's
listen,
value, Fred.
We were talking about the unscientific methods and...
Well, it's a hell of a lot more unscientific
no,
in the draft than it is in
free agency. We were talking about free agency, okay? You want to talk about the...
But I'm not talking about free agency. I'm talking
well,
about
that's
philosophy.
What,
it's the same
I thought
thing.
That's what we were talking
I'm
about.
I'm talking
it's
about
money
value. The value system that everybody says is the reason why the Patriots win, I think is a bunch of bunk. I think the Patriots win because they have the best coach and one of the best quarterbacks. That's why they win.
So
you take one of those away, and you saw what happened. You don't make the playoffs without the quarterback. And you take the coach away, we'll see what happens Sunday.
All these role players that help them win these Super Bowls, they just got lucky?
Why is it that all these role players that leave the Patriots don't do a lot?
It doesn't matter, Paul. While they're here, if you can
win by
doing
Because you have the best coach who puts them in positions to make plays.
But Paul, whatever the
reason
is. So
there's no value philosophy at work.
I think
it's not the value that made them win. It was the talent that made them win. And to me, the talent was illustrated with the coach and the quarterback.
Well, I think it takes a little bit more than that to win a Super Bowl. And I think that when the Patriots were good, they had a strong middle class. I think
they also had a strong upper class.
But they had a strong middle class. Everybody played. Everybody contributed.
Same thing they're doing now.
Well, but they're not as lucky now with the players they have. You can't own – if they were –
You just illustrated my whole point.
Right.
Yeah, you can go out and you can sign Artrell Hawkins off the street. He might pan out.
Right.
But you also might end up with Delta O'Neal off the street and not make the playoffs.
And you can't
– It's a lot harder to do it that way than to draft Darius Butler in the second round. who I think is going to be an excellent player.
Okay.
That's an excellent draft
pick.
Well,
they drafted him.
Stop drafting. Stop trading down looking for a jewel who will cost you nothing.
Look.
Stop doing that.
The draft is – I can't – I still think the draft is a separate conversation from
but
going
it's
after
value.
Free agents.
It's philosophy.
It's very similar,
it's
though.
Value.
Philosophy
value,
is very similar.
Yes, it is. But
they wouldn't take Gerard Mayo at 7, but they would take him at 10. That's crap to me. You could have lost that player that
but they
you liked.
Didn't. So they would have been –
but the philosophy is flawed, in my opinion.
Well, you know – maybe they knew
maybe
that Golston was going to take it. You know, they knew
Golston
the Jets
was already gone at 6.
I just said they knew the Jets were going to take Golston, so they could take a chance in letting Mayo drop. I don't know.
Golston was gone. He had nothing.
But
to do
But why
with
do
the
you
equation.
Take a chance?
I have no idea.
Did you take a chance that
but,
you didn't offer Jason Taylor enough money?
I don't buy. Look, you either you think that they didn't know how to do it since 2001, or
that's not true.
I didn't say they
things
didn't know how to do it.
Things don't change over
don't
a 10-year span. There's nothing that's changed in the NFL. There's no way. You don't need to tweak your system. Value isn't different. None of that's different now?
If you're talking
about almost a quarter of the life of this franchise, and nothing's changed.
If you're the same regime, then how you're the way you scout players is the same.
No, but it's about paying them. It's about going after money. Things don't change. You don't have to tweak your value system. No,
and don't tell
nothing
me that
changes.
And don't
31
tell me,
other teams. It's well, just a vacuum.
Then don't tell me the increase.
The only explanation that you guys... The logical explanation is they got cheap since 2007.
No.
And before.
The explanation
2007
is,
was the only
was
season.
The, yes.
You used the word
the
luck.
2007 was the only season that they didn't
well, I,
use this value system.
It's
is that
the
correct?
Greatest No. It's the greatest example. But when they got Rodney Harrison, how did they get him?
They got him through free agency.
But how did they get him?
Everyone else thought he was done.
No, what? That's not true. He was going to sign with the Denver Broncos until Bill
everyone
brought him here.
Except for one
so
team.
Bill made it known through finances and everything else, we want you more than anyone else.
Yeah, but it's not
how
like
they
overpaid
get Lee
for him.
How did they get Lee Bodden?
Wait. We're talking about money here.
Okay.
Bill Belichick, I'm sure that Bill Belichick courted a lot of players he wanted. But
and he paid Rodney Harrison.
They didn't overpay for Rodney. In fact,
see, I disagree.
A lot of people think he was underpaid.
Yeah, 3 years later when he was good.
When they
at
signed
the point,
him, he wasn't underpaid.
He wasn't underpaid.
He they was underpaid.
A good or yeah. above market value offer.
He
and
was
he
underpaid
it.
Throughout the life of the contract, but when they signed
right.
him, they signed him off the scrap heap.
That's
at a
good business.
Deal.
Being
at
able to
deal.
Do that.
At but, a good deal.
For the
but
player.
At the time, it was
for the
a good
too.
Deal for the player.
I want to bring
he
up.
He lured him in with enough money to make it happen.
And but Rodney Harrison also said that Belichick himself impressed him. This is where
right.
he wanted
and,
to
and
be.
And all that is part of it. But the point is, you need to aggressively go after people. That's what they did in 07 with money, interests, midnight-type phone calls like
sure.
the Washington Redskins.
Sure.
What did they do last year?
You don't think that they do that at all?
Did they do it last year?
They, I think they did it in 07.
Did they do it last year?
I don't know. Do you?
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
Why? Because they didn't get who they wanted?
Who did they want?
I don't know. They
I don't know. Do
they,
you?
I don't know. They,
yes.
They
Jason
claimed.
Taylor.
They claimed.
Well, they were pretty aggressive there.
Were they?
Yes.
Well,
the owner came out and said it's his job if he wants it.
But did he give him an offer that said it was his job if he wants it?
I don't know.
Or did he give him an offer that was a 1 year blah, blah, blah?
I don't know. They claimed to me that they had to make the Matt Cassel trade immediately so they could have money to do these things, if I recall, the beginning of free agency last year.
So they're lying?
I actually never bought that from the start. I didn't get it. I didn't get that whole line of thinking that they had to
get. Well, I don't get why they threw Vrabel in there, but, I mean...
Well, another example, but I won't get into that.
I do
either.
Believe that they were up against the cap. I do believe that they didn't have a lot of wiggle room to do what might happen down the road.
I also want to bring
up
a point.
They wanted to have flexibility. They didn't have it.
Freddie, let me bring up a point, too, because you keep saying, like, did they all of a sudden lose it? And I don't think Andy, Eric, or I are saying that they don't know what they're doing now and
no.
they knew what they were doing. I'm not saying that. I think Bill Belichick is the best in the business, and you know that I think that. You know that I'm not just saying that. But earlier, it was a little bit more beneficial to do it with the value system, you know, from 2000 to 2004, 5, 6, you know, I would say like the first 4 or 5 years of the decade because the cap did not increase at the percentage that it does now. The cap is huge now. The cap is no longer an impediment.
Right.
The cap has grown
that's
at such
not
a
true.
High.
That is
Jonathan
true.
Even admitted this with Mike Felder.
It's less of an impediment, but you still have to manage it.
When was the last time there were all those June 1 dumps that used to happen?
They don't
every
have
day?
To
you
don't
rely on
don't,
to get
you don't
teams.
Get that. You don't get that benefit
no,
of doing
that anymore.
No, it's
because teams don't have to cut them.
Do.
Teams don't have to cut them anymore. There's none of this Floyd Reese-led Titans thing where you roll for 3 years and know the fourth year we're going to have to eat it.
My point is you
that
had,
doesn't happen anymore.
You had to
you have
try.
$128 million to spend.
The Patriots' idea of finding a Mike Vrabel or a Rodney Harrison at affordable dollars who might be able to come in and help your team was a necessity in 2002. It's not a necessity in 2008 or 2010 because the cap doesn't prevent you from giving a guy like Joey Galloway decent money. Now, if he can't play, he can't play. But back in the day, he would have signed for a lot less. Sean Springs would have not, the Patriots would not have signed him for the amount of money that they signed him for 5 years ago because they wouldn't have been able to and they wouldn't have been interested. And he's a starting cornerback for you, and he kind of salvaged your season for you.
I mean, why wouldn't they have been interested in him? If they were interested
in a guy
like...
They wouldn't have paid him the amount of money that they paid him because of the cap.
But why would they trade, you know, be interested in a guy like Adalys Thomas, who was a mistake, but at the time they were in love with the guy, and they emptied up out the Brinks truck for him.
Because that was the year they
decided
to do it.
I think 07 was a different year, but you don't think that I'm right.
I don't think you're right. I just think that the guys that happened to be available that year, and maybe they had a little bit more room than they had.
I stand by Andy's thought.
They were motivated by the
loss. You give me Bill Belichick, and you give me unlimited resources, I'll take my shot. That doesn't mean he's right. It doesn't mean he's right every time.
And even I'll take it a step further. It
doesn't mean he's right every time.
I can't disagree with that.
He's made a lot of mistakes.
But nobody in the NFL has unlimited resources.
You know my point.
No, but he has the money to spend, correct?
Does he have the money to spend?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's, you know.
So sometimes, and everybody needs pushing. I understand he makes all the football decisions. And I'm not looking for Mr. Kraft to come in and say, we're signing X, Y, and Z.
Whatever you want, Bill.
But you know what I think? Everybody needs pushing it sometimes. And it's happened to me. I'm cheap as they come. I am as cheap as they come when I buy most stuff. I will ponder a purchase of like a TV for months and do all the Consumer Reports crap and all that. And at the end of it, you know what usually happens? My wife says, just buy the freaking TV. You want it. It's a good TV. Just buy it. It's going to make you happy. Every once in a while, I'd like Mr. Kraft or whoever. Bill, your economics background is great and it's helped us for a decade. Just go buy the star receiver. Just pay Asante Samuel. Just pay him. He's going to help you. You may pay him $3.7 more than you want to per game next year, but you won't regret it. He'll be good.
As fans, we'd love to see them spend money. You know, we want to see these players either stay here when they get good, like Deion Branch or Samuel,
Asante Samuel,
or bring in the guys like Albert Haynesworth because, you know, they're marquee guys. But, you know, they've had success doing it the way they do it. And there's a lot of teams that do it the way we envision that just don't have
like
success.
The Redskins
or the Raiders. You know, the Raiders
are Raiders different. Make stupid moves.
You know,
they throw money at guys that
bad
don't deserve
players.
It.
Again, you know, you give me Bill Belichick with the Redskins philosophy, and I'll feel pretty good about it.
Right. You also have to worry about locker room chemistry, which, you know, obviously they didn't do a good job with that this year, it seems. But sometimes you can bring in a guy like Albert Haynesworth, and it just screws up your locker room. Whatever you've built up, you bring in this guy, and, you know, he screws it up. So you have to think about all those things.
Isn't that an argument for Asante Samuel is a guy we talk about a lot.
Right.
Because now everybody pretty much universally says they should have re-signed
him. Sure.
They probably would say it.
You can't argue with
that. And I'm not one of those guys that wants to re-sign everybody. I just think you target
the Colts let their free agents go a lot of times. The Steelers have done it in the past.
Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, Dwight Freeney.
There's certain guys they keep, but they let a lot of guys.
Is Asante Samuel in that core? Is he in that list I just listed?
I think when you have a special
core
guy,
players that you developed, I even think that helps you internally. Because guys know if I develop,
I'm their guy, they're going to pay me. I agree, but the Steelers have been a team that has done that in the past.
But they've always signed the guys that mattered.
Some guys. Right. And
Ben Roethlisberger, they re-signed him. Willie Parker, they re-signed
James
him.
Heinz
Ward, James Harrison.
Well, you're saying the Patriots have never re-signed anyone that's coming up on their second contract?
Well, we're going to see what happens with the quarterback.
Name the guy that they've signed to a huge deal. Well, a guy that, a marquee,
obviously Brady.
Right. But quarterbacks, you really think they're going to let Brady walk?
I'm interested to see what happens this time.
Well, it's coming around, but that's a little
right
different.
Now.
After Moss panned out, they extended him and gave him big money. Right? No? They gave Vrabel a lot of money. Probably more than they should have in an extension. They gave Jarvis Green more money than
they're just overpaying Jags.
Well, whatever.
Jarvis Green's contract was a bad contract, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The other ones, I think.
Seymour is one. Seymour is a good example. They made mistakes,
and Seymour's another guy that they gave a lot of money
Seymour
to.
Seymour is, to me, the only example.
Well, he got the best contract.
The other guy, Vrabel's contract wasn't big.
No.
Oh, it was. He was very happy with it, let me tell you that much. No.
It wasn't big for a 12.5
I was with him. Yeah, I was with him that week because we were putting together one of the Three Games to Glory videos, and he was bragging about it with with Ted Johnson and the other guys that were down there. And they were all giving him a hard time.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
He was very happy with it.
He signed a contract. It had money in it.
Okay, I mean, but he was happy with it.
My point is...
I got screwed.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's enough examples that go the other way, too.
Oh, okay. But every team has that.
I don't know.
The Patriots,
I just listed you all the important Colts,
and
they re-signed
I just listed
him.
You like six guys that they did re-sign.
No, but you, I don't
you
count Jarvis Green.
Count Jarvis
I don't count
Green.
Jags.
You, but they gave him... Paul said they overpaid him.
They
it was
did.
A terrible contract.
It was a terrible contract.
Okay, so don't tell me they
no
don't
one
spend,
else wanted to sign him.
Don't tell me they don't spend money.
You can list all you want in the Matt Leitz, Ty
about,
Warrens,
he's
Dan
talking
Copens,
about your core
guys
players.
That aren't
I know.
Stud
you
players.
You can tell me they've made mistakes in how they spent the money?
The only guys they've re-signed have guys that have well, allowed them to re-sign him. Took what they offered.
Signing Jarvis Green, even though I think they gave him too much money, they saved a lot of money by not signing guys that I thought they should have re-signed.
Well, you can make... You can say that they've made mistakes, which obviously
so
they
don't
have.
Say it's not about being
those
cheap.
Guys actually fall to our argument where they sign the guys that they can get in that $3 million range or whatever the number is that's this middling level yeah. of look, your middle class. Look, and look, divide the $128
look,
million by 53.
Look, I'll,
we'll sign everybody to $2.5 million contract.
When it was I'll $1 million a year, it was
right.
great. Now, well, that it, now that everybody's middle class is $3
I'll
million
say,
a year,
I'll say
not
this.
So great.
I'll make the case that not being cheap, but they're trying to be too exact. They're trying to be... You know, too exact.
That's
with,
my point.
Well, but it's not a cheapness thing.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How a guy like Wilfork, whose contract is up and
right.
you know, all the issues surrounding him, how do you think his attitude has changed from beginning?
He's pissed.
No, wait a minute. Let me make the point before you answer it.
He doesn't. That's not what he does.
The beginning of training camp, when he came in saying all the right things, I'm going to come here, do my job, till the other day when he was saying, oh, it's a business, I could see myself playing for another team. How do you think the fact that this team has re-signed to extensions guys like Eric Alexander, Nick Kazier, Rob Ninkovich, Sam Aiken, all through the season, they've given those guys extensions, and a guy like Wilfork probably hasn't even gotten a sniff.
He's pissed.
And that's kind of my point.
I said that 5 minutes
Let those
ago.
Five guys walk and,
you, and right.
sign Vince Wilfork.
And
I'm giving
well,
you credit.
And I'll
You'll
tell
bring
you
in a
happen.
Rookie undrafted linebacker that'll play a little bit.
And
I'll be okay
happens.
With you, Bill.
You add all those five guys. You hear the hue and cry of the Patriots fan. Mm-hmm. In Bill we trust. You add those five guys together. That you got those five guys for what it would have cost you to get Vince Wilfork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
yeah.
you're a lesser team as a result.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Well,
give me Samuel for $60 million.
You
can keep Baden for $20 million.
Well, I think that in Wilfork's case, again, I think they're looking at that nose tackle position and they're saying, you know, and
they
and,
say, and too yeah. much for my life.
No, and again, who's been more successful?
But
in
our
the
point
last
is,
decade?
Our point is, you get guys like that who get to the
Bill Polian, according
who
to
get
his
to
numbers,
the point with their
well,
contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, does Bill Polian sign free agents?
Who's been more successful
he
in the last 5 years?
He re-signs every star he's
I know,
ever had.
Does Bill Polian go out and sign free agents?
If he needs to, did he go get Adam Vinatieri and win a Super
very
Bowl?
Very rarely.
No,
did he
doesn't.
One?
Very rarely.
He targeted, he saw one, and he changed
but
his philosophy.
Rarely.
But again, you fixate on free agency. He spends money elsewhere. He retains
no,
his own
do,
guys
absolutely.
To astronomical contracts when he thinks the guy's worth it.
Yep.
We
done
don't
that
do
with
that.
Four
but
guys.
That's a great
four.
Did he see? Four guys?
Yeah.
Really?
Freeney? Harrison when he was there, obviously Manning,
Clark.
Well, is Clark that huge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, now Clark stinks.
Yes.
Sanders,
Jarvis
Mathis.
Green counts, but Dallas Clark doesn't.
I said his salary. Is it that huge?
You counted Jarvis Green.
No.
You don't think he makes more than Jarvis Green?
Oh, of course he does.
The only guy that the Colts let go was Edgerrin James, and they didn't do that because of money.
Right.
They deemed that he was done.
He was done.
And by the way, they were right.
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They drafted Joseph Addai to replace him.
Yeah, so? I mean, but that's how they build their team is through the draft.
But you just said they don't sign free agents. They needed a kicker. They went out and signed the best kicker on the market.
They generally don't.
Change their philosophy because
right.
they needed to.
But Fred's right about that.
Oh,
they generally don't.
Wait a minute. They changed their philosophy because somebody was available that they thought that could help them.
Yeah.
You know?
So nobody could have helped the Patriots
but in all
last
the other,
year?
But
that's
in
amazing.
All the other circumstances, they
wow.
didn't allow their best guys
they
to
really
leave.
Did underachieve. They had the best 53
that's
players
the
in football.
To me.
They decided, these guys are our core guys. We can't afford to let them leave, so we'll overpay them if that's what it takes.
And they did overpay for some of those guys,
right.
but well, they picked the right guys.
But look, they're winning 11, 12, 13 games every year.
And so are the Patriots.
And the
we
last
mock
five,
them for resting guys every year because they're always 13-0.
In the last 5 years, I mean, you just said who's been more successful in the last 10. Well, who's been more successful in the last 5?
Well, the Colts.
Yeah.
So, no,
but I don't think the Patriots' philosophy changed from the top five
Eagles?
From 5 years ago to 10 years ago. It's
I know it hasn't.
That's
my
point.
I think the landscape has changed in the last 5 years.
But has the Colts' philosophy changed?
No.
For the most part, no.
But I would argue
so they went out and got a guy.
Their philosophy hasn't been the same as the Patriots.
So in the first 5 years of this decade, when the Patriots were kicking their ass, should we be criticizing their philosophy? And what
everybody did.
Wait. But
they were wrong.
They have no middle class. You can't win that way.
And what changed, Fred?
Why were they wrong?
What
they didn't get over the hump until the salary cap went up.
The salary cap blew up. So maybe their philosophy would have been wrong had the cap stayed at $77 million.
A lot of people said they were wrong. How can you sign Dwight Freeney to make him the highest paid defensive player in football? How can you re-sign Peyton Manning?
That's our point.
That contract for Peyton Manning is going to prevent you from re-signing all these other guys.
I don't care what you say, whatever philosophy it is, Bill Belichick's or Bill Polian's. If you get the right guys within your philosophy, you're going to win.
And here's my point.
You're going to win.
I totally agree with you, Fred. And I'll end.
Eric,
let me end.
Sign. No.
No. Let me end with this. I agree with your point.
I mean,
obviously,
the Patriots have proven it.
Obviously, Fred.
If you get the right guys, Fred. Right. If you get the right guys. They had the right guys.
Right.
And don't keep them.
And they didn't keep them. That's our point.
They had Asante Samuel. May have cost them, possibly the last 2 years, playoff wins. You could. That's not hyperbole. He may have cost them possible playoff games.
They
didn't identify the guy that they already had.
But, Paul, you would even admit, or you even said that they would probably admit that they made a mistake with Asante Samuel.
Well, I know the coach wanted to re-sign him. I know that for a fact.
So you can't say that, you know, you can't be right on 100% of your decisions. You're going to screw up once in a while.
But the point is, Fred,
why
if
are
they
you
spend
screwing
money,
up if
it's
the coach
easier
wanted
to be right.
Him.
I give Belichick the credit that if he's picking between the Mercedes, he'll pick the right Mercedes,
right.
And that's easier to pick the best one of those than to pick the bottom barrel.
I don't know. People have criticized the first-round draft pick when they have their choice of players.
What? The Patriots first-round draft pick?
First-round draft picks.
Who, Maroney?
Maroney, Merriweather.
I don't hear a lot of criticism of Merriweather.
Not outside of this room.
I don't know where he's getting this criticism from, I think that Belichick is widely regarded as he never misses on first-round draft picks. Never misses.
That's the perception.
Well, did he miss on Watson and Graham and Maroney and Merriweather?
No. Maroney, yes.
All those other guys were okay?
That's the value. I would think, using your word, value.
But do you think that they were worth what they picked
I think
them
Watson
at?
Gets criticized. I would agree with Fred that Watson gets criticized.
That's the first time I've heard that from you.
But he was also the 32nd
first of all, I think Daniel
draft.
Graham is 100% better than Benjamin Watson, and you know that because I always thought it. I always thought that for some reason he was the blocker and Watson was the pass receiver.
All I hear about
but,
is people.
But both of them had kryptonite on their hands.
I know, but all I hear about is people criticizing Watson as a first-round pick.
I hear that, too.
I hear people criticizing Merriweather as a first-round pick.
Well, I hear less of that.
You never hear that, so that's garbage. The Watson thing.
Are you talking about us, I hope?
No.
I think
because I am talking. I think we criticize
him.
I don't
care
about anybody.
We're the only ones.
He was just named to his Pro Bowl. He was a midseason All-Pro.
We're on an
people
island.
People laughed.
We're on an
Who?
Island.
You,
Who's
me,
laughing?
Paul,
us.
And Eric.
We're on an island about Merriweather. Everybody else thinks he's this budding superstar. They were comparing him to Ed Reed.
I was on a Baltimore radio station.
Wait.
The Boston Globe compares him to Ed Reed.
Fred, I was on a Baltimore radio station that said Merriweather's just like Ed Reed. He takes some chances, but he makes plays for you.
No.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We're not making this up.
The perception is he's a playmaking safety.
The right. Watson
well,
thing.
What do you guys think?
He stinks.
Okay, so absolutely. They made a mistake in a first-round pick.
I think so, yes.
Did they make a mistake with Watson as a first-round pick?
Did they make a mistake
with Maroney as a first-round pick?
I think they made a mistake with Maroney.
So they don't always hit on first-round
picks. But Watson
have
been a
mistake? But the perception is that they don't make mistakes with first-round picks.
Would Watson have been a mistake a pick later?
I'm asking your opinion.
I think Maroney. How many times am I going to tell you? It's the only one. Maroney.
Would Watson have been a mistake a pick later?
I didn't like Maroney coming out of college.
In second round?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. He's played you 5 years. He led your team in receptions 1 year.
Okay,
he's a blocker.
I think he was
picked. I don't like him, but
that's what I'm
he's
asking.
Still on the team.
I'm asking you, not.
Do I like him? Would I have picked him
I would have liked him
round?
As a third round pick.
Was it a miss?
I think as a second round pick, he might be good.
Value wise,
I would have liked him
miss?
As a third round
but
pick.
But when you label him a first round pick, he's a disappointment.
The problem here, you're confusing two different things. Did he have first round talent? Yes. He has been a disappointment. Yes. He hasn't lived up to his talent.
Right. Well, I mean, Maroney, you could say the same thing
about. I don't
think
Maroney is not living up to his talent. I think Maroney is just not that good.
Well, wait a minute. You say he's not living up to his talent.
I think Maroney is what he is. I don't think he was a first-round talent.
You're saying he doesn't have the talent.
That's why.
Right.
That's the one I would criticize.
There's nothing to live up to. It was a miss by the Patriots.
Right. That's the one miss I would say.
Yeah. That's not
Richard Seymour wasn't a miss.
No,
in 2001.
But even their miss, to me, I don't like Maroney, but
you needed a running back and you took the wrong one.
And he rushes for 800 yards and had 9 touchdowns.
That's kind of my point.
It's not like Chad Jackson, who couldn't step on a field for you.
Chad Jackson is a miss.
That's a bust of epic proportions.
And that's what I'm saying is that there's a difference between Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson in all their first round picks. Watson has been disappointing. But he's been a serviceable starter for you.
He's competitive in the National Football League.
Yeah. Right.
I think he's a disappointment, but I could see what they saw to pick him in the first
disappointment
round.
Disappointment as a first-round pick. See what they saw and give him a chance.
Daniel
he's
Graham. I definitely see what they saw in Daniel Graham.
There's enough teams that draft first-round picks that are out of the league in like three
or
4 years.
We've really veered off course, but it's interesting. I think there's a lot
of stuff. It's very unscientific, as is free agency. I really think it is.
I think free agency is definitely tough.
And it gets more unscientific,
but I think it's
the less money
point,
you pay.
The
I think it's tougher by your own restrictions.
I remember
the point we're making is if it is so hard, which we all agree it is, if you develop a guy in your system and you know he fits, don't let him get away.
That's number one.
And Eric,
point number one.
What did I say about Asante Samuel?
You agree that he's
a
terrible free agent signing for the Eagles. Everybody thinks that.
Fred, everybody does.
Fred, you can say that, and you do say that it was a mistake, but you've done nothing but criticize that player since he's left. Nothing but
criticism. I just make fun of him, Paul.
All right, well, sometimes we can't tell when you're making fun
of him. That wasn't a joke earlier when I said Adalys Thomas was a bad signing, and you said the Eagles could say the same thing about Asante Samuel.
But again, you put words in my mouth there. I wasn't talking about a Samuel not being a good player or Adalys contributing the same to the Patriots that had nothing to do with it.
No, you're making the laughable assumption that you have to win a Super Bowl for a free agent pick to be good.
Well, I'm talking about you can spend all the money you want, and it doesn't mean that you're going to get your team goal. You know, you have to be smart. And again, they made a mistake with Samuel.
But the Eagles didn't.
But all I'm saying is you can spend all the money you want, and it could never end up being a Super Bowl for you. You have to pick the right guys. You have to know your team.
But they did pick the right guy. The Eagles picked the right guy.
I'm not saying they didn't.
They decided not to pay Lito Shepard and the other guy. They saw Asante. Everybody was like, why are they doing this when they could re-sign their own guy?
Because they knew
he was better.
Wanted
the good one. Right?
Well, sure.
Now, if they had just re-signed Lito Shepard for $56 million, people would have said, that's good?
You know, and if I'm in the Eagles, Samuel aside, if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm probably counting to 10 other decisions that they've made, same team, same philosophy, that caused them to be one and out in the playoffs. It's the same philosophy of guys of the team that brought in all those other guys that created a one and out team that brought in Samuel. They made mistakes in probably 10 other areas, even though they were right on Samuel. Same people making the same decisions.
But how do you know that?
I would argue they've made
one
mistake.
I don't think that they bring in somebody to make one decision and somebody else to bring in Samuel.
No, but you just said there's probably 10 other. What are they?
I'm not an Eagles fan, but I said if I was a fan.
Don't just make it up then.
Okay, so there was no reason why they were one and out in the playoffs.
How about they were the sixth seed and they barely made the playoffs?
Well, maybe they underachieved, Paul, for some reason.
I don't know.
You don't think
that's my point. Why are you just throwing stuff out there?
You don't think that there's some talk show in Philadelphia that's criticizing
I'm sure there is.
Thank you.
Because they don't kiss the team's asses
they
do here.
Oh, and we're kissing the ass.
Yes.
The ass. Which ass is the ass?
That's unbelievable. All I've read for the last 3 days was either – you know, how they screwed up with leadership, they screwed up with talent, you know, maybe Belichick has lost it. That's all I've been reading for the last 3 days.
Other than the Belichick has lost it, do you
where
disagree
you
with any
Belichick
of that?
Has lost
no,
it?
I don't.
Where have you read the Belichick has lost it?
So it's kind of fact.
Analysis.
Because
I've been reading that in Ask PFW.
I saw a couple of that in the clips today.
So did I.
Belichick has lost it?
I've seen that, yes.
Who,
have you read the clips?
No.
There have been some stories.
But who wrote it?
Callahan? I don't remember exactly.
Because I saw the end of an aura. It was the back page of the Herald. I haven't read the story. That's Callahan?
Might have been him.
So he thinks that Belichick should go?
I saw.
There were callers yesterday.
I don't care about callers.
Fans are idiots.
I'm talking about
Eagles. I talked about fans criticizing their team.
I'm talking about the talk shows.
New York Daily News.
You don't think the media knows anything, Paul.
No, I'm talking about the talk shows. In Philadelphia, will kill the.
I've got.
Oh, they're killing the Eagles.
They killed the Phillies 5 seconds
Absolutely.
After they won the World Series.
The Philadelphia
That's
fans
what they
are
do
terrible.
There.
But
Daily
but,
News,
but
New York had a column today about it. I forgot who the guys were, but they had a column saying that Belichick's mystique is
it's all
is,
over the place.
New York, but
okay,
but
it's all
also
over.
New York.
Yeah, it kind of proves my point, but
they hate Belichick more in New York than anywhere.
They hate Belichick.
Well,
Bill Reynolds had one.
They're
today.
Not afraid of Belichick anywhere else but here. Everybody's afraid of him.
New York, they hate him. I mean, I don't think, by the way, his mental breakdown when he resigned.
Right. I don't think, by the way, that Belichick deserves to be taken to task for everything.
Of course he
does. I think he had a bad offseason.
I think so, too.
I think he's too much on his plate, and it's his fault.
Right. Well, that, yeah.
The 2009, whatever you want to call it, the, you know, wrap-up 2009 eulogy is on Bill Belichick. There's too much on his plate. He brought these guys here. Most of the guys he brought here didn't pan out. Yeah.
They
That's
failed
on
because of him.
That's on him.
Right?
But that's 2009. It's not
right.
I don't think it's a.
Well, that's all we're talking about.
It's a sign of these things that saying at the end of the era, the end of aura.
But the bottom line is they didn't fail because Tom Brady sucked, right?
Well, a lot of people will say that they failed because Tom Brady wasn't up to his standards.
Some people could say that. Yeah.
Well, other than the record breaking season, he was certainly up to his standards.
Right.
The standards he set over a 10-year span. They didn't fail because Randy Moss and Wes Welker sucked. The offensive line was all the things that you had an expectation to play a certain way played that way. The long-standing foundation of this team.
Yeah.
What failed was newness, right? The guys they brought in, not good enough in
some
areas.
They had a bad offseason.
But not just that. The coaches they brought in.
And that's on Bill. I mean, I can't make excuses.
The coaches had to have failed, correct?
Well, it's an all-around, system failure.
And Bill makes the decisions on who holds every one of those jobs. Yep. So it falls on Bill.
And you know what? We talked about rope earlier for guys like Pete Carroll, a nicer guy. If the Patriots had won Super Bowl 42, I think Bill would be getting a lot more rope right now.
Sure. Well,
the further you get from Super Bowls, the shorter the rope gets.
I agree with that. If they had won 07,
and everything
life would
since,
be different.
Right, and everything since then had
no.
Oh, yes.
No, but I'm
We'd
saying,
still be bitching right now.
But I'm saying there would be more rope for him at this point
there would be.
Than there is now.
There'd be fewer of the Bills gotta goes,
yes.
But everybody would be ripping because when you get blown out in a home playoff game, it leaves a mark.
I agree.
It
hurts. I'm just saying there would be fewer of it, and the volume would be lower.
Probably.
Fred, I guess the point I'm trying to make is where I disagree with you. You keep saying that the same system is the one that worked, and I just think that the landscape has changed, and I don't think that system has worked for a long time. I don't think it's just a one-year vacuum. Like, this year was magnified because everything they did in the offseason didn't work.
Some key areas just failed.
But I think the last 4 or 5 years, you haven't really – your system hasn't helped you.
Right.
I don't know. I talked – getting to the AFC Championship, getting to a Super Bowl.
You didn't get to the AFC Championship with the additions that you made in those years. You got to the AFC Championship with a core of talent that he developed at the beginning of this decade.
Well, you can make the case that maybe they hung on to that talent a little too long.
I wouldn't make that case.
Well, I don't know, but
I wish they'd hung on to a couple another year.
I wouldn't make that case. I don't think they had a chance. I don't think that they're like the old Celtics with the big three and holding on to Bird, Magic, and McHale. They were still productive players. Mm-hmm. And I think they had, like I said, a minute and a half, 30 seconds away from immortality in 2007. That's not that long ago.
Seymour, you wish was still here. Samuel, you wish was still here.
I didn't throw Seymour in there. You did.
You know, the Seymour trade, right?
You don't think he was a good player? You don't think there would have been a better defensive line with him?
I'm not sure about that.
That doesn't happen in Philadelphia. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
A team
There's
just
no way
ran
anybody
the ball
says that in Philadelphia.
52 times to beat you. 52. And you wouldn't have been better with Richard Seymour
at that
on the
spot.
And by the way, you had to move your all-pro nose tackle to end because you were getting your asses handed to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this defense was any worse than last year's
defense.
That's
ridiculous. I don't care about the season. I'm talking about Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m.
when the
Baltimore Ravens handed you your hat.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, first of all, they moved Wilfork to the left side and Seymour plays on the right side. But
he moved to the right
side.
Watch the game.
No.
Go fix the blog because it was apparently wrong in the blog. Watch the game. Right defensive end was Vince Wilfork.
Well,
thank you.
Let me tell you something.
And even Eric, the guy who doesn't know where the tight end lined up, saw it.
They moved Warren out.
I thought he went to left defensive.
He did go to left.
He went to right defensive.
He started out the second half at
right defensive end.
He might have played some left defensive end, but he started out
there. When I saw him, he was on the left side.
He might have switched.
His butt was looking right at me.
I got to go with you on that one, Frank.
Well, he was at right defensive end.
He might have moved over.
That was the change.
But
the bottom line is Richard Seymour could play either.
You want to talk
about would have been better.
What they would do in Philadelphia?
Wait a minute. You don't know.
Were they that good last year? With Seymour?
Did you see were
anybody?
They? Did you
when
see
did
anybody
I see
run
him without
the ball 52
Seymour?
Times?
In 06 were they I mean in 08 were they that good with Seymour?
When did I see him without him?
Were they that much
I don't
better?
Know how sucky
Wait
they would have been without him.
Were they that much better in 08 than they were Sunday?
No, they weren't.
Yes. They were light years better in 08 than they were Sunday.
On defense?
Yes, light years.
Then they were better Sunday.
Than better than that performance
than
on Sunday?
Sunday.
Of course, that performance.
That's what we're talking
and
about.
I'm talking about the whole season.
And well, throughout the season.
I'm talking about Sunday, the game that cost you your season, that sent you home.
Not to mention the fact that Seymour said all offseason he was – this was the best offseason he's had. He was looking more forward to this season than any other season recently.
Because he was in healthy. A contract year.
He was healthy, and it was a contract year. He was motivated. He would have been.
Well, that's one of the problems with Richard Seymour. He motivates when he wants to motivate. He doesn't
so
play.
He was also
he
healthy. Re-sign him.
He doesn't play
he was
the
also
same
healthy.
Every game.
You did not have to re-sign him.
I don't he wasn't healthy
you
the last
well, you were
going to
lose him.
You but you lost the game without him.
You were going to lose him because you were going to allow it.
Yes.
Right.
So stop saying you were going to lose him like
way.
You didn't have any choice.
Yeah, I know. And would you have signed him? At
Absolutely.
He, next
yes.
year? When
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
Wilfork, Warren, and Seymour.
No.
Those three guys. You wouldn't want those three guys to be your anchor on the three.
Paul was your GM. You might have won on Sunday.
There's no way that I, you know, knowing
what
Seymour.
No matter what they do, it's the right move. This is what I'm talking about.
They would not have been better with Seymour on Sunday.
You can't argue with that. How can you have an argument
ever made on this stage?
Knowing Seymour, there's no way that I would give him what he's going to ask for this offseason.
You don't even know what that is.
Do you know what he's asked for in the past and what he thinks of himself?
If he was going to take another short-term deal like he did the last time, with good money, I'd have paid him.
Yeah. Another 4-year deal?
They knew they weren't going to re-sign him, and so they got a first-round draft
That's
pick.
That's funny that Bill
right,
was...
and they got their asses handed to him by 52 runs on Sunday.
Well, I don't think Richard Seymour would have made much of a difference on Sunday.
We can't even really logically
argue
with
I can't believe how much
that.
Better they right. would have been
really?
With him in
I don't understand yes. why okay. heading into a
I'd rather have Myron Pryor.
Not just Sunday, Fred. All season.
Myron Pryor and Mike Wright are better than Richard Seymour.
Why heading into an uncapped year you couldn't re-sign Wilfork and Seymour, I don't really understand. I don't get that. But again, it gets down to value, and that's what I don't agree with. So our basic disagreement here is about one word. The last 45 minutes we can sum up.
It's how you spend your money.
You think value's good, I think it stinks.
It's how you spend your money.
No, it's getting the right players. I don't care about the
money. Well, it is getting the right players, and who
you spend
it on.
And it's harder to get the right players for less money. It's harder to do it that way. That's where we disagree. You did it once. It's to be commended.
A lot of emails.
It's really, really hard.
What do you mean you did it once?
You were able to build a great team based on your value system, and you won 3 Super Bowls.
Right.
It's very to be commended for that.
And you think
my hat's off to Bill Belichick.
Just so I get
that's
it straight.
That's why I think he's the best ever.
No, but just so I get it straight, because the salary cap landscape has changed, no team will ever be able to do that again.
No, I think it's harder to do it that way. They could go out and sign
not 20. As necessary.
In 2001, they signed 21 guys and hit on like 15 of them. They could do it again. It's not impossible.
But
I think it's a lot harder to do that.
It's not whether it's hard or easy. It's was it necessary then? Is it necessary now?
It's not necessary.
Is it still necessary now?
I think it's a lot harder to do it that way than it is to draft the guy at number 13 and just pay him what he's worth.
I think Belichick's philosophy is I need, you know, and again, he's not always going to be right with the people he chooses, but he believes that he needs a strong 53.
Okay. Did Chuck?
I don't know why you can't have a strong 53.
Did Chuck Knoll have a good philosophy in the mid
70s? Well, you think that the salary cap doesn't make that much of a difference.
It doesn't make any difference, and Jonathan agrees with me.
No, he doesn't.
Because he said it with Mike Felder on the radio.
I can guarantee you, and I heard that interview, and he said it's not to the extent you think, Mike. I remember it.
He said it's not to the extent that it used to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
But guys are making more money than they
do. Right.
It took us 45 minutes. We've reached the right point.
But there is still an extent that it is a factor.
Fred,
it's not a factor. It's only a factor.
So then why do they have a salary cap, Paul?
It's a percentage.
If it's not a factor, then why do they have one?
I'm saying it doesn't prohibit you from signing who you want anymore.
I think it can.
Of course it can.
Yes, it can.
But bottom line is,
and if you do it wrong, it can really hurt you.
And if they didn't have a salary cap, teams like Washington and Dallas
if you do it wrong, it can't really hurt you anymore. It hasn't. It hasn't. The facts are it hasn't.
Well, no, the facts are that's not true, actually.
Okay, give me the examples. Proceed.
There's a lot of teams that it has hurt.
Okay, go.
Because of mismanagement.
Go.
I'll get the list.
Okay, get it.
You know?
Because there isn't. It was 5 years ago.
There hasn't been a cap casualty in 5 years.
Right.
Well, there's guys that people get rid of because they make it too much money, but not because they're up against the cap.
Oh, that's not true, Paul.
Well, not in the last 4 or 5 years.
I'll get the list.
Okay, get the list. But the point I started with here.
There's no such list. He can't get a list.
The point I started with, sometimes you have to change your philosophy. You're saying, oh, so it was wrong when it was right in 2000, but it's wrong now. Yeah, that's possible.
If your
philosophy can change and be wrong right.
If you can prove to me that uninhibited spending will not hurt you, I will say you're right. You have to change your philosophy
you
in order to compete.
First of all, you can't prove.
I want to give Belichick the ability to have unlimited spending.
And unlimited,
I don't want to give Daniel Snyder and Vinny Serrato.
I understand.
Unlimited is in quotes. You understand that we're not saying that you could just go out and sign everybody for $50 million.
Any guy that you want, you can get.
I think you could target the best player at a position in your biggest area of need and pay him whatever he wants and be okay with it.
Virtually every year.
You're fine as a team if you do that every year.
Well, I do think you can do that.
I think there's 32 GMs that probably, except for maybe one, that
Bill
don't agree with
Bill
you.
Bill Polian is be the one that does that,
no,
that
he,
does
he,
agree
he,
with me.
He does it with his own players. But
exactly.
He doesn't go out in free agency and buy the guys in the
market. I
don't
care if it's a free agent. I just want my talent back. Right. I don't want Vince Wilfork walking. I don't want Richard Seymour traded for a pick 2 years from now.
Yeah, he wouldn't have helped
who,
you anyway.
Who, by the way, I'll guarantee we don't end up picking.
Do you want to re-sign Tom Brady?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see if he gets re-signed.
You know?
Yes.
Did the Colts re-sign Peyton Manning? Did the Steelers re-sign Ben Roethlisberger?
Yes, I want Tom Brady
and the Patriots
back.
Re-signed Tom Brady when
right.
his contract was up. And they'll
but
probably
what did those
was,
other teams do that you
we'll
didn't?
What
they signed all their
year.
Other stars, too.
The Patriots have been as successful as any of those teams. What are you complaining about?
Not in the
about?
Last 5 years they haven't.
See, that's what
in
you're
the last
not acknowledging.
Five years, the only two teams that have been more is Pittsburgh and the Colts.
How about the Giants? They won a Super Bowl that you did.
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah. You have none.
The Chargers in the conversation? All they do is go to title games. They don't have the ring, but they may get that this year.
So now you're saying, in one hand, you say winning a Super Bowl isn't the ultimate goal.
How do we get on this topic?
You know, but
because
you talk about putting
ignorance reigns.
Wait a minute. He complains that you put words in his mouth. He just says, well, on one hand, you're saying Super Bowl championships aren't the ultimate goal. Like, I've said that today. That
well,
you shouldn't be trying to
well,
win Super Bowl.
You said that the,
right, Fred,
you said
I
said the Eagles shouldn't be criticized because they haven't won a Super Bowl.
No, I said the Eagles shouldn't be criticized for signing Asante Samuel and not winning a Super Bowl. That doesn't make it a bad pick.
But you're saying that the Giants are as successful as the Patriots because they've won one Super Bowl in the last 5 years.
I would say the Giants are more successful than the Patriots because they've won one Super Bowl in the last 5 years.
You know, but
if you want to quote me accurately.
Okay, so throughout the same regime, the same people making the decisions, would you say the Giants are more successful or the Patriots?
What regime are you talking about?
The Bill Belichick regime versus
Patriots.
The Giants.
Patriots.
Okay. So whose philosophy is better, the Giants or the Patriots?
Why can you not see that?
The
it
Giants'
can
philosophy has been in place for 3 years.
Right.
I would say the Giants.
Why can you not see that
it's
it can change?
It's the same ownership with the Giants.
No, it's not. It's Jerry Reese is now running the show for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but
I would say they've been more successful in that time than you have.
Mara and Tish have been the owners forever.
So then I think the Steelers are way better because Chuck Knoll's philosophy was way better. Right?
But if you say that,
right?
If you say
Chuck Knoll got it done. Why is he not still there?
Does that mean then we're counting this regime
change?
Going back to 93, 94 then?
Did Tom Landry have
then?
To be replaced?
So that means Denver and Dallas have been better than the Patriots
things
in that
change.
Time.
Then,
you know?
If you think that the Patriots all of a sudden got cheap.
I don't think it was all of a sudden.
They've always been cheap.
Yes.
Yeah. Except for 07.
Except for 07.
Except for 07.
Except for, 07. Except for 1 year.
Yes.
They weren't cheap.
Cheap is not the right word, and you know it. You're just trying to be
argumentative. No. Well, okay, what is it then?
Frugal.
Frugal.
Value.
They spend their money.
Value has been important to them.
Have they,
I don't think it's
have
right.
they spent their money wisely or unwisely?
Unwisely.
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 Yes.
Okay, so.
You if you buy.
Paying James Sanders $4 million to be inactive to me is not wise. Paying Sean Springs a couple million dollars to not play, not wise.
They had a bad year. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, they had a bad year. But the same regime has had a good regime.
But my.
Oh,
the same regime
God.
Has had a good regime.
I don't think that their philosophy has changed.
I don't think
that's
it has
my
either.
Point. It needs to.
It needs to
because
it's
of
harder.
One bad year.
No,
it's not
because
one
of
bad
5 years
year,
of bad. Of
are you counting last year as a bad year,
Fred? Do you think
yes,
they, Fred?
They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, Fred.
Okay. Delta O'Neal sucked.
So Brady's
Delta
out.
O'Neal was a value play.
Oh, okay. 07 was a bad year?
Yes, they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Wait a minute. No, 07 was a great year. That was the
see,
one
you
exception.
You don't even know what you're arguing because he said that was the one great year.
07 is a great year. Don't get mad
they
at me.
They can have different opinions
I rest
if they
my
want
case.
To.
Yeah, he doesn't have
you
to
have no case.
I rest my case.
He doesn't have to have the same opinion
ladies and gentlemen
me.
Of the jury, I rest my case.
Oh how did we God. Get into Thursday's argument on
Tuesday?
Tuesday. This should have been Thursday's show.
This is what he does when he's tired of arguing.
Right.
Next topic.
When he's running out of dumb things to say.
2007.
Richard Seymour would not have helped Sunday. Can we go back to the game?
In our opinion, 2007 was a different philosophy. In your opinion, it wasn't.
Same year.
Okay.
No, I think 2007 was the same philosophy.
It was
a different philosophy.
It was a more aggressive approach, a more financially reckless approach, and I think it was borne out in the fact that they had the best team. That's my opinion. In 2006,
and it ended badly.
In my opinion, in 2006, they overachieved like crazy based on the play of one man.
Yes.
Number 12.
Yep.
I don't think that was a Super Bowl caliber roster, and they came a hair away from going
and
there.
And Andy,
for one
Andy
reason,
said it earlier. The reason 07 happened was because of what happened at the end of 06.
And the reason
they were embarrassed on the road by their arch rival, and they said, you know what, we need to do something.
I've had a few.
And the reason 08 to me, you sit there and you fluff it off, oh, you lose Tom Brady. That's proving my point. Your value system goes out the toilet, down the toilet, when you lose the one guy who's mostly responsible. So you can talk
value
all
you
want.
So you like
want.
The Colts value system? If
I don't
Manning
even know
lost,
what the Colts value
if,
system
if they
is.
Lost Manning, would their value system go out the window?
No, what I'm, my point
Wait
being,
a minute. No, answer the question. If they lost Manning, would everything that Polian did be wrong?
Everything that Polian did be wrong? No.
Okay, so if they lost Brady.
I never said everything the Patriots did was wrong either, so
but,
don't put words
but
in
But they're
going
to lose without Manning.
Trying to do a lot in the
they're
last
going
10 minutes.
To lose without Manning.
The Patriots, the Colts are going to lose. I would. That's
of course.
That's a fair statement.
But that's not
so
an implication of their value system.
So don't sit here and
Nor
tell me.
Nor is it an implication of the Patriots system if they lose Brady and they lose.
So don't sit here and
By
tell
the way,
me.
They didn't lose.
They
were 11-5.
They didn't make the playoffs. They were the seventh best team in their conference.
Again, Paul, you're making my point about signing free agents. You're saying now, unless they win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. Your value system is not validated.
Fred, all I care about is being a contender. They weren't a contender without Brady. They didn't even make the playoffs.
And neither would the Colts be without Manning.
I happen to think that you're right about that.
Okay, so but is their system wrong? Is the Colts system
Can't
wrong?
Can't we just talk about the Patriots and stop talking about other teams?
But you're comparing them to other people.
You keep telling me the value system is the reason the Patriots are good.
No.
I'm telling you, you take Brady away, and the value system got you to seventh place.
And I'm saying the same thing about the Colts, which whose value
Again,
system
Again, why are we
like?
Talking about the Colts? Who
because,
cares?
Because you put up their value system on a pedestal.
No, I didn't. I said that you can sign guys if you want to. The cap doesn't stop you. That's what the Colts have done.
And what happens if you lose Manning in that system?
I don't know what would happen because he never played a whole season.
The same thing.
I would agree
in
with you.
System.
I don't think they would make the playoffs without Peyton Manning.
Okay, so
I don't think they would make the playoffs without Peyton Manning.
So
why is it breaking ground that if you lose your franchise quarterback, your
why is it
goes
that you can't
tubes?
Talk about the team that we're employed by and have to bring up all the other teams?
But because you guys did. You compared.
No,
them
I'm
to,
not.
You compared them to what
you
other
keep
teams,
saying they're the same as every other team, and we're showing you how they're not the same as every
you,
other team.
You're the one that compared them to what other teams do.
You're the one who keeps saying they're better than everybody else.
Okay.
Can I just ask the question?
Paul's getting very angry.
Because you keep changing the argument in the middle.
Just relax for a minute. Can I just ask you, you're using this whole if Manning goes down, if Brady goes down. You're making it sound like because the Patriots have a value system,
thank you, Andy,
they were able to have this great veteran backup quarterback. They didn't miss a beat because they spent their extra $6
million. That's
not what I said. The Colts don't have a value system.
That's not what I said.
Then it's irrelevant. Stop saying Colts, Colts, Colts.
But that's not what I said.
Both teams don't have a backup quarterback. They had an undrafted rookie free agent
playing. When Paul pointed to a team that does spend the money on their own players, and does it well, he pointed to the Colts. But at the same time, he said that if the, you know, with the Patriots value system, and he, you know, saying sarcastically, if they lost Tom Brady, you could throw that value system out the window.
Okay.
Did he not say that?
Yes. And I stand by
and
it.
I'll say, and
and
I
you
will,
saw it in 2008.
I'll say the same thing about the Colts. If they lose Peyton Manning, you can throw their value system
I don't
out
have
the
a Colts value system.
You know what I'm saying. The way they
no,
do things.
I don't know what you're
if,
saying.
If the Manning gets hurt, you can throw the way the Colts do things out the window.
So the bottom line is
yes
both ways you don't make the playoffs.
Right.
So show me the benefit of the value system.
But
thank you.
But my point
That's
is,
all I'm saying.
It doesn't matter.
All I'm talking about is the Patriots.
You I can, thought
for
the
some
theory
reason,
is,
this is about the Colts.
If the value system gives you this great deep roster, this whole middle class, you shouldn't go down without Brady.
But see,
you didn't make the playoffs.
But you're saying if you make the right decisions every time. And they obviously screwed up in the offseason here this year using
this
their system.
And last year.
This year.
No, and last year.
Every year but 07 and recently.
Look, no, but I'm using your example of last year.
We don't know how they would have been with Brady last year.
But I don't
year.
Care. You just said the value system allows you to win even when Brady goes down.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
I don't know what you're saying.
I would never say that because I don't believe it's true. I think if the Patriots lost Brady, they'd be in the same blank hole that the Colts would be.
So then what does the value system bring you?
So what is the benefit of it then? Why not accentuate what you have with Brady?
Now we've come full circle to where I started.
The end of the show?
Whether you're the Colts or the Patriots, it comes down to hitting on the right players. Within whatever philosophy you have or value system, whatever system you have, you got to hit on the right players. And if you don't do that, you're screwed.
But there's also a time when that, the value system might need to change based on what's going – based on conditions on the ground.
Well, that's true. But I'm not – see, and Paul thinks that the conditions on the ground have changed.
They
I
have.
Do. I
okay?
think they have.
I do.
I think to a certain degree, obviously the cap has gone up. But I think there's a lot of other factors that, except for a few teams, they say, we can't just go spend, spend, spend. You know, and the teams that do that don't win.
I'm not, listen, I'm not suggesting go spend, spend, spend. This is what you do is you exaggerate everything that we say. I'm simply saying that everything you just said, it's all about getting the right players.
We've just done 2 hours.
Yes, everything, everything that you're saying.
Oh, and the listeners are saying, oh, my God.
And
they
read
just did
zero
hours.
Emails.
But you keep saying that.
You did get an F-bomb from a caller, though.
It's all about getting.
He actually said Falk.
Oh,
did
really?
He?
Did he really?
Didn't sound like
no,
it.
No, he didn't.
Did he call back?
No, he absolutely
did. Yeah, he's
did
on the
not.
Phone.
Is he really?
One of the listeners.
How long has he been on the phone?
Also, he's listening.
Can you replay it? I love him, but he didn't.
Yeah,
say
can
Falk.
You replay that part?
Replay it. I want to hear it. You should be able. If he says,
oh,
Falk,
by the way,
illegal.
I should say that Scott Chapsky bought lunch today.
And it thank
was,
you,
and
Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
And it was delicious.
Fred, let me just say the
I
last
have a sore
thing.
Throat.
From what you just said about the players, it's about the players. I agree. I'm just saying I think it's harder to get the players, the right players, doing it the way the Patriots try to do it.
And I think doing it your way. Sometimes, you know, because you may not be talking about exorbitant spending.
No,
but
I'm not.
I think you can create.
I'm not talking about exorbitant
but
spending.
But I think you can create other problems for your team if you spend a lot on a few guys and that doesn't
and
work.
And the way I look at it is
you know,
talent.
That could work.
Sure.
But you can bomb on those players
just like,
as easily
of course
as you can
and
on
and
draft.
If you F just, up, this, you effed up on right. Whether you paid the so, guy this.
Like
so,
Dallas Thomas was a bad so signing. But not for the same reason that.
I would never say that the Colts system is wrong or the Steelers system is wrong.
And I would say the Patriots system is wrong.
But you do. You do
I disagree
say it
with it. There's a difference,
right.
Freddie.
Well, if you disagree with it, you say it's wrong.
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying that I would go about it differently. I think you need to be more flexible. I think having a, quote, system is wrong.
I think they're flexible.
Not what the
and
system
I think
is.
I think in 07 they showed
I don't
they were
think
flexible.
They're flexible.
When they saw guys that they really thought they could help, they were flexible.
That's probably where we philosophically disagree. I think 2007 they said, we had
aberration.
A shit team in wow.
He did it again.
That's unbelievable. We had a bad team in 06 that overachieved, and we had to do something different.
Wow.
That's what I think they did.
What is again, wrong with you, buddy?
I don't know. I'm having an out of body experience.
He dropped the bum that
it's definitely time.
Definitely
time for you to shave the head. I think.
I really, really apologize. That's twice in 2 weeks. This is what Fred does to me.
What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Take Thursday off.
I can't do that. I love the show too much.
All right. Well.
And I don't have to miss the show tomorrow for the big show because we don't have a Wednesday show.
Scott was nice enough to buy us lunch.
Thank
you, Scott. Give them that language,
and on the phone is Chris with the TIAN. Christian, are you still there?
Hey, guys. What's up?
I am sorry about that.
Wow.
We time just kind of flew by there.
Wow.
No, I don't have internet, so this is great. This is the only way I was able to watch this.
Are you working?
I did say Kevin's last name, though. Yeah, but I'm just doing, I'm
not
preparing
buying
for
it.
A meeting.
Oh.
I'm just doing, no, you can replay it. I say Kevin's last name. I would never do that to you guys. You know
not
that.
Buying it.
Wow. Well, I could understand, like I said, when you were blown up.
Yeah,
I share the sentiment.
I just said
did.
Ship, too.
Well, you're all right. How's that? Everybody on the show.
Hey,
right.
it's a Fred and Paul argument, right?
Right. Even so, Fred, who said the defense wouldn't have been better with Richard Seymour
sure
on Sunday,
I honestly,
he's still going with it.
I don't think it
against 52 rushing attempts. You know.
Well, here's the problem. You know, obviously the leadership, everything you guys touched on. You know, you're right on the money. The leadership, the lack of going after, you know, guys trading down, all that stuff is right. And the other thing that stood out to me Sunday was, I think it was the third or fourth quarter, they break the huddle. Aikens on the side, on the right side of the offense, they're going right to left with Moss.
Yeah.
And they show, like, the overhead shot of the camera, CBS camera, right? So it's like they're above the huddle.
Yeah.
So they break the huddle. As soon as they break the huddle, Moss is telling Aikens, go to the left,
yep.
Go to the left. And Aikens standing there looking at him.
There was a lot of that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's saying, go to the left, go to the left. So now they line up.
Yeah.
And Moss is yelling at him, go to the left. And he's pointing, go to him. Then Brady tells him to go to the left. I used to point to the TV and laugh when that used to happen to other teams. That's
yep.
us.
Yep.
That happened
yep.
every game.
Yeah.
It happened a lot on Sunday.
When you're playing a defense as smart as the Ravens, you have to be smarter.
And it happened a lot with no Wes Welker.
Forget about being smart. You don't know where to line up when you break the huddle.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's, I don't know, Fred or Paul, I think you alluded to it, if that's Belichick being stretched too thin, not enough coaching, not a true offensive coordinator. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but I don't, obviously a special team of playing wide receiver, maybe that's it too, but I never saw that on this team.
You know what would be interesting? You know what would be interesting? If you could talk with Stallworth or Gaffney and, you know, they could just be honest about like how they learned the system in, you know, what.
And the word was that Stallworth struggled with it, right? Remember?
Mm-hmm. And Gaffney said...
Gaffney obviously didn't. Gaffney... He was pretty good right away.
Not Gaffney. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Caldwell. Caldwell said that he learned it by playing Madden.
Well, you know, Richie Caldwell, but...
Caldwell learned the system. He just didn't have the talent.
Yeah.
There's a difference there.
You know, but I'm just wondering, like, what is the difference between a guy like Sam Aiken and a guy like Joey Galloway and then a guy like Jabbar Gaffney? You know, what... Is, you know, is it purely mental that you just understand concepts better?
Yes.
Is it communication? Is it a communication thing that you could read what, you know,
Gaffney was one of the guys who picked up this offense quicker than almost
any
other.
Absolutely.
It was amazing to watch him do that.
To the point of a lot of fans, is it the coordinator who just makes it clearer to these guys and makes them, you know, teaches it better to them?
That's a good point.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe the coaching, the experience in the coaching, because you can't possibly know the offense as well as Charlie Weiss did when he was teaching those guys.
Right.
And maybe Josh did when he was teaching those guys.
But when those guys came in, Josh was only in his second year as quarterback's coach at that point.
Yeah, but he had been here since 2001.
He was doing a bunch of other things.
But again,
Nick should know it as well. Nick should know it as well as anybody.
You know, talent Weiss had in teaching it might have been shared by McDaniels. You know, you know, some people learn by doing, some people learn by watching, some people learn, you know, they learn different ways. And it's up to a coach to figure out, okay, I got a guy here who can only learn if he does it. That's
Bill
a talent.
Is still here.
Yeah, in a coach. But he's still here. But I'm sure that when they're on the field and he's over with the defense and practice, he's relying on who's ever with the offense to be doing a good job.
No, I know. But my point is Nick Caserio is teaching them, or Chad O'Shea, whichever the
right.
The
and
direct.
Are they doing what needs to be done?
But Bill sees all the practice tape, sees a guy struggling, has the time to say, Nick, if he's struggling with this, do this. I mean, he's still here.
I know.
So that's why I think it has to go down to the player. Joey Galloway clearly was just not a
But it just seems like the
learner,
only
cerebral
two,
player.
Yeah. It just seems like you can't talk about Slater and all those other Jags because they just don't have the talent, but it just seems like the only two guys that understand that are Welker and Moss, period.
Yeah, it's lack of talent.
Well, what about Edelman? I think he's come on
pretty
impressively.
Well, you know what? That's a good point.
That's my point.
He didn't understand it at first, but now he seems to.
Yeah, when he was a month into a conversion, but now 3 months into it, he looks like he's pretty comfortable.
So what is it about Edelman's makeup that makes him different?
Just like clearly Richie Caldwell is, I mean, Jabbar Gaffney, football smart.
Right.
Just like Deion Branch was football smart. Just like Randy Moss is football smart. And Donald Hayes was football dumb, and Doug Gabriel was football dumb, and Joey Galloway was football dumb.
Brady gave a lot of credit to Edelman's background as a quarterback as really helping him. I don't know how much that played into it, but maybe it did.
But my point is, whatever
he has,
he has it.
They need to get some smart guys.
But you don't know...
That have talent.
Do you know what I'm saying? You don't know...
That is indeed the idea, to get smart guys who can play.
But you don't know who's smarter, Joey Galloway or Jabbar Gaffney.
But
you only know who's football smarter.
I know, but...
So it's a hard thing to put a finger on.
I guess is Joey Galloway is real-world smarter than Jabbar Gaffney.
And I have no idea.
When you talk to Joey Galloway, he's an intelligent guy. He's articulate.
And he's obviously talented.
Yeah,
but
I think it might also
have hurt him.
But for
pick
some
up this
reason,
offense.
It didn't work.
It might also have hurt him that he was as much of a veteran as he was, too, and set in
old
his ways.
Dogs, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas Gaffney was kind of scrapping to stay in the league. He was on the street.
That's right.
All right, we'd love to sit here forever. We got a last show to film over at Neckin, so we've got to go do that now.
Fred, if you want to tune in, Fred has already made his prediction. The Patriots 38, San Diego 23.
Right. We'll be back Thursday, though.
26.
We're back to our Tuesday-Thursday schedule, so I promise.
And we'll get
to the emails.
This is the off season.
All right, see you later.